There it was in black and white, the terrible truth we'd all been too blind or too drunk or too scared to see. Corporation equals corpse. Are we blind? How could we miss it? These fiendish undead entities shambling through the stock market, gorging themselves on the green blood of commerce while we stood around like helpless cattle, discussing their quarterly earnings reports and market capitalizations as if we were talking about something natural, something human. We've created monsters, not the cheap Hollywood kind that you can kill with a wooden stake or a silver bullet, but something far more insidious. Immortal paper demons in three-piece suits with teams of lawyers for fangs. Take BlackRock, that trillion-dollar ghoul squatting in its Manhattan castle like some bloated Count Dracula of finance. They don't even try to hide it anymore. What is dead may never die might as well be their corporate motto.
You have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team.
Texas pulls $8.5 billion from BlackRock in stunning blow to ESG movement. And just when Missouri and Louisiana and Mississippi did this, and Texas threatened to do it last year, it made Larry Fink of BlackRock go from, we're going to control all your behavior, run your life, through the thousands of corporations we control 80%+ of all the corporations and wealth of the planet, to, oh, no, 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 we're not doing ESGs anymore. We've abandoned that. They haven't abandoned it. They've abandoned the name ESG, which is a corporate governance, which is the beginning and the heart, the foundation, and really the superstructure of the planetary social credit score, where they control every facet of your life, where you go, what you can buy, what you can sell, what you can be paid, where you can travel.
And Disney? There's a vampire that learned to feed on childhood dreams instead of blood. Started out innocent enough, just a friendly cartoon mouse inviting your kids over to play. Now it's a soul-sucking entertainment leviathan that's been feeding on the imagination of America for nearly a century, getting stronger with each generation it devours.
We have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads and narratives in which gay characters just get to be characters.
What is Goofy's sexual preference? Is Minnie a pansexual? Is Snow White secretly into BDSM? The answer is, of course, no.
If you read the book, you'll be like, transitioning from Disney to this was easy. I don't know, getting molested from your 6 to your 14 seems like way harder circumstances, or being physically abused all the time. The type of mistreatment that I was still dealing with at that time, that everyone around me saw and did nothing.
The evidence is everywhere. Once you know how to look for it, these corporate vampires don't cast reflections in the mirror of responsibility. They can't be killed by normal means. They multiply through unholy rituals called mergers and acquisitions, each one getting bigger and more horrifying than the last. The worst part, we invited them in. The bloodsuckers can't enter unless you invite it across the threshold. And we did that back in 1886 when the Supreme Court first declared corporate personhood. Might as well have hung a giant vampire's welcome sign on the Constitution. 111 years of documented feeding frenzies, a century plus of these immortal entities growing fat on the lifeblood of the working class from their Federal Reserve tombs. You can't kill something that's already dead. These corporate vampires have found the ultimate loophole in the social contract. They've achieved immortality through paperwork, eternal life through legal briefs and articles of incorporation. Maui has been fattened up for an upcoming meal. The Appalachians are on ice as the former residents take their measly payoffs in lithium country. And Governor Renfield Newsom has prepared a feast of the finest real estate in the country. We're not dealing with people at all. We're dealing with something far older, far hungrier, and far more patient than mere mortals. And they're getting stronger every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving into the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C plus. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
It's Friday, January 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday morning. We've got a big show for you today. We got a pre-recorded interview we did yesterday with Australian musical artist Aya May. She went totally viral with her new song, Carmageddon, where she calls out Anthony Fauci and Israel and a number of other untouchable public topics. And we had a great conversation. That'll be played in the last hour of today's show. We'll open up the phone lines nice and early for you today. Take as many phone calls as possible. We have a lot of stories to get into on the final broadcast before the inauguration on Monday, at least for us here on American Journal. We got a lot of people in D.C. who we will be talking to throughout the day Monday, keeping an eye on things as I do think and have thought for a while that the inauguration would be the biggest potential target for false flag terror attack that we're going to face. Lots of videos to show you today as well. So let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 17th of January, 2025. Energy Department deploys helicopters over D.C. scanning for radiological or nuclear irregularities ahead of Trump's historic inauguration. As the nation's capital braces for President-elect Donald Trump's historic inauguration, the U.S. Department of Energy is ramping up to unprecedented security measures. Helicopters equipped with cutting-edge radiation detection technology are buzzing low over Washington, D.C., scanning for potential radiological or nuclear irregularities. In an exclusive look at security preparations, CBS's Nicole Sganga, it's like a Star Wars character, joined the Department of Energy senior scientist Jacqueline Brandon aboard one of the agency's highly specialized helicopters. Flying in a meticulous grid over the National Mall, the aircraft's mission is clear: detect and neutralize threats like dirty bombs or other nuclear hazards. Again, the threats to the inauguration are innumerable, the biggest one being government ourselves, but drones, of course, being a very big topic of concern for an open-air inauguration for which there is no reliable protection against a drone attack of some sort. So we'll be waiting to find out. We'll be waiting to see what happens on Monday. Hope you join us then, and we'll be broadcasting the whole thing live. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls President Trump and thanks him for his assistance in brokering the hostage release and peace deal. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called President Trump on Thursday and thanked him for his assistance in brokering the peace agreement and hostage release with the Hamas terrorists. As reported earlier, President-elect Donald Trump's Middle East envoy Scott Witkoff was the deciding factor in securing a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but President Joe Biden nevertheless took a victory lap anyway. Yes, we talked about this yesterday with the Arab leaders in the talk, crediting Donald Trump with
you know, being responsible for the talks all coming together. And now Benjamin Netanyahu has more or less endorsed this position and called President Trump to thank him for getting the ceasefire agreement, and not President Biden. Meanwhile, Israeli Security Cabinet approves Gaza hostage and ceasefire deal. The Israeli cabinet will convene on Friday to approve the Gaza hostage and ceasefire deal, which the smaller security cabinet has already approved. And that was the bigger hurdle, as I understand it, because the security cabinet is the prime minister's cabinet, which is the hard right, hard line Zionist faction. So it got through that, and the deal still has to be approved by the full cabinet before it's implemented. The Israeli prime minister's office said the ceasefire and the process of freeing the hostages are expected to start on Sunday at 4 p.m. local time. The cabinet meeting was moved up from Saturday night at the urging of the director of Israel's Shin Bet intelligence agency, Ronan Bar, according to an Israeli official. So we can return to that as well, but apparently the ceasefire should be in place Sunday afternoon. Meanwhile, Biden pardons nearly 2,500 nonviolent drug offenders. What's the difference between a pardon is an executive forgiveness of a crime, while commutation is an executive lowering of the penalty? President Joe Biden has now issued more individual pardons and commutations than any president in history after announcing Friday that he was pardoning nearly 2,500 nonviolent drug offenders. Biden said in the announcement, which came just 3 days before his term ends, that he's commuting the sentences of nearly 2,500 people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses and serving disproportionately long sentences compared to the sentences they would receive today under current law, policy, and practice. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this. And this isn't actually supposed to be how the presidential power is wielded, but technically, I guess he's allowed to. The idea is that if there are, you know, exceptional cases, the president can step in and pardon or commute sentence. You're not supposed to do it thousands at a time, you know, going back in time and deciding that the laws as they used to be written were wrong, and now we have to, you know, backtrack and change them ex post facto. Because I don't like it. The way the law is at the time is how it should be carried out into the future. I have the feeling that this is going to go both ways. It's going to be like, well, you know, there weren't those speech laws back then when you said it, but now those laws do exist. So we got to go back in time and punish you, even though at the time it wasn't illegal what you did. Sort of the same idea to me. If it was illegal at the time, if it was a crime at the time and they were given the lawful punishment dictated by law at the time, then they should have to serve it. And then you could change the law and not do that into the future. But I don't like this idea of going back in time and deciding that the laws as they used to be written were wrong. And so now we have to change things now. And it's just, I don't like it. Finally, we have this. FBI quietly closes DEI office in anticipation of Trump. The FBI quietly closes DEI office last month in anticipation of the incoming Trump presidency. Earlier this month, Senator Marsha Blackburn sent a letter to outgoing FBI Director Wray and demanded he stop prioritizing DEI after the New Orleans terror attack. Now the DEI office has closed, but apparently the Trump administration has issued, you know, legal instruction to the FBI to preserve all of their records when it comes to DEI. So they may be shutting down the office, but the investigation into the practices of the office will continue in Trump's administration. So that's your Daily Dispatch, of course, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Go there today to get Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, the incredible and best-selling product at InfoWarsStore.com. It's now on sale at 50% off. Stock up while you can. After all, InfoWars might not have long to exist, depending on how things go in the courtroom later this month. We will we'll figure that out. And I guess here I want to make something clear, even though it's not you people that need to hear this. It's everybody that doesn't listen to InfoWars but thinks they know everything about us. We only get income from the sites. That's the only way that we have any income. That's where all of our funding comes from. InfoWarsStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's our funding mechanism. We don't have investors. We don't have sponsors. We have not been bought by Elon Musk. We're not being paid by Israel. Honestly, it's so bizarre. you see these things on X, where it's people like, Alex Jones sold out to Elon Musk. It's like, for what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I mean, when you get right down to it, all that really means is Alex Jones agrees with Elon Musk sometimes. And I guess that's the objection. But it's like, doesn't selling out require that something be sold and you get income for that? I don't even understand where these rumors are coming from. I genuinely am baffled at what people think is going on. Maybe there's some confusion with the fact that Elon Musk's lawyers were at the hearing, the bankruptcy hearing. Let me just reiterate, even though I've said this a whole bunch of times. They were there to deal with a concern X had about giving up the, you know, handles of, you know, at Real Alex Jones and at InfoWars. And they settled everything before the bankruptcy proceedings even happened. The group that is aligned with us, you know, putting forward bids, is not Elon Musk group. So just where is this coming? Like, this is, it's very strange. You would think if we sold out, we would get something in return for that. And you would also see a change in our programming, probably. But none of that happened. This is the funny thing. You know, you had this story a few months ago. People like Tim Pool and Benny Johnson and others being accused of being Russian agents. But they were, you know, and we defended them. Thank you. We defended them and you know, described what a farce that was and how it was clearly just a totally baseless investigation in order to smear the right wing, to provide talking points to the left wing media who's losing the culture war. But even then, at least they were getting $100,000 a month from Russia or whatever. I mean, they were getting a huge amount of money from Russia. Now, again, their output didn't change. Their content wasn't affected, as far as anybody could tell, as far as I could tell, or the investigation, you know, never found that they were instructed to cover things a certain way. So I don't even know if I would call that selling out, but at least they got hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Where's our hundreds of thousands of dollars a month from the people we're selling out to? Apparently just agreeing with somebody is selling out. And you know, other people going, well, you've changed your tune since InfoWars no longer relies on selling supplements since they got, now they're just being paid directly by Israel. And it's like, it's got like 200 likes. And it's just like, what are they even talking about? What is going on? What is going on? I'm just baffled at what these claims are supposed to be or what they're supposed to mean. Especially when I posted a thing yesterday and the first response I got was, I used to be a listener to your show until you started dedicating every second of every show to hating Israel. It's like, well, wait, hold on. Do the Israelis know this? Do they know that despite paying us off, I'm relentlessly anti-Israel and it's the only thing I cover? It's just, I don't get it. It's very bizarre and it's very strange. But all this is to say that we get funding from one source. And this is absolutely undeniable. I guess it makes sense, because then you've got this, you got people posting pictures of Alex Jones now, thin, looking healthy. And they're just like, either they think he's a clone, or they think he's been replaced, or they think he's on Ozempic. It's like Alex Jones and his fitness trainer have been posting practically daily workout videos for a year. So I don't, it's like, it's very odd how people just don't see this stuff, don't look into things at all. It's all very weird. It's all very strange. It's all very blackpilling, to be honest with you, because it's like, something's happened on our side in the last couple years, maybe even just the last like year or so. See, it used to be that like to sort of get into like our content, our material, you had to like be good at research and investigation and even just basic logic. Like you had to have like a certain level of IQ to be able to identify patterns. That's all IQ is really. It's just identifying patterns. Like if you take an IQ test, it's all just pattern recognition. And so, you know, you would see something that was inexplicable, that where the official explanation wasn't up to snuff, had some, you know, glaring inconsistencies in it. And then you'd go research to try to figure out, like, okay, what are we missing here? What are they hiding from us? What's being kept from us? And usually if you dug a little bit, you would find, like, what the real ulterior motive of whatever policy was being pursued or attack occurred or whatever. And I don't know if we've gotten too big tent. The gate's been left open. And not even like, you know, we want to gatekeep this side. It just, there used to be these like kind of natural barriers. It's kind of like you had to be a certain type of person to sort of find this information because the information wasn't spoon fed to everybody. So only people that went out and looked for it, only people who were intellectually curious or, again, you know, could see these inconsistencies and wanted to find out more. Like the Matrix, right? It's like, you know, Neo chasing the white rabbit. It's like you got to actually notice something's wrong. You got to look around and go, this, something's not quite right. I better look into this. I guess that doesn't really happen anymore. So you've got, like, you know, the before and after of Alex Jones. You got Alex Jones at his largest and unhealthiest. And then a year later, you've got Alex Jones thin and fit and healthy. And so this is the type of thing where, like, if you just see these two things, you go, well, what happened? What am I missing here? But then you should do like 1 second of research and go, how did Alex Jones get skinny? Oh, he's been working out every single day. Oh, he goes on 5-mile hikes every single day and he stopped drinking and he started really dedicating himself to physical fitness, like in an almost obsessive way for the last year. And you can watch over the entire year as he slowly, by, you know, gradations, loses all of this weight. And then you go, okay, that's the explanation. He was fat. Now he's skinny. He worked out every day for a year. Problem solved. Now it's just like, okay, he's fat, he's skinny. Let's just come up with something totally baseless, assert that, do no research, not look into it at all. It's like something like we used to really care about being accurate and being right about things and like finding the information. But I guess that's like gone out the window at this point. And it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating, I have to say, because, again, it's like, It would be nice to be paid off by Israel. It'd be nice if we were sold out to Elon Musk. Elon Musk doesn't even interact with us on X. He just said, like, what is the claim? I don't know. Maybe I'll open up phone calls about this because I'm genuinely confused about not only people saying this, but like so many people liking the comments, because it's like, I don't even get what the claim is. Genuinely, I don't even get what the claim is. Alex Jones sold out to Elon Musk, but didn't receive anything and hasn't changed his coverage and has had the same position forever. Maybe I'll just paint it this way. Because, yeah, I mean, this is like ubiquitous. And this isn't even for people that watch, because people that watch are just like, they know that all of this is nonsense. But I don't know, maybe we'll have to post this to Twitter or something. But, like, just imagine that, like, there's this fantasy world, this Lord of the Rings Middle-Earth-style world, and you have... you have the forces of Mordor take over Gondor, right? You've got some outside foreign force conquers a nation, and the nation is just totally conquered. You know, all of their government is occupied by these foreign people with foreign interests. But you've got this one, like, rebel guerrilla group that for, like, decades is just fighting these little skirmish battles, doing everything they can to just, like, remind people, hey, we're under occupation here. We should be fighting against this. And they, you know, they don't get any major victories, but just, you know, constantly have this sort of ragtag group of rebels in the forest fighting this long extended guerrilla war with little to no public acclaim. And then one day this army shows up, this massive army. And instead of, you know, coming in and just trying to conquer the country for themselves, they actually point to the rebel group and go, no, we're on their side, actually. We're here as a force multiplier for them. And, you know, together we're going to take our country back. And that would be like Donald Trump's election victory, right? That would be Alex Jones for 25 years fighting in the wilderness, no public acclaim, no, you know, political victories to hang your hat on. But you're right. And you're, you know, just fighting with all your heart because you know that, it's your country, after all. Very little success, like tangible. I mean, you know, right, there's like this hardcore group of fans that's very supportive and loyal and you know, massive victories in the information war. But in terms of like political success and political domination, didn't really happen until Donald Trump showed up, said nationalism, not globalism, will be our credo. America first. Make America great again. And we need to, you know, quit all of this crap that we're going through. All the stuff that Alex Jones has talked about forever. And so we have this massive victory because the occupying force thought they just had to deal with these ragtag rebels. They weren't ready for and didn't expect this massive army out of nowhere by this, you know, industrial titan who, you know, organized a militia, purchased a bunch of mercenaries and took on the establishment. And so they suffer a major defeat, but then they reorganize, they reestablish their supply lines, and they counterattack. And our forces are beaten back again. And then, like, there's this big battle that will sort of determine whether this insurrection succeeds or not. And it's almost like a Helm's Deep. To go back to the Lord of the Rings, idea. There's almost this like Helm's Deep style scene where like we're in the fight for our lives. It's really not looking good. You know, it's fairly even matched. Victory is hanging in the balance, and then sort of over the crest of the hill rides this whole new, fresh, and incredibly powerful force, even more powerful than the combined might of the Trump army and the Alex Jones army, and that's Elon Musk. And he sweeps in, and, you know, clears the battlefield, and we achieve victory, and that's the 2024 election. And so then, you know, after the victory, it's like suddenly there's dissension in the ranks. And it's like suddenly people are going, well, no, now it's time to fight that army. Now we need to fight Elon Musk's army. He's actually the bad guy. And it's like, but he just swept in and helped us to achieve incredible victory. Like, we might not completely align 100%. We don't want to, you know, turn over what we've fought for 30 years to this dude that just showed up. But without him, the battle would have been lost, and that would have been it, right? We'd have President Kamala Harris right now, folks. Think about that. Red dye wouldn't have been taken out of the diet. Fluoride still be in the water. Hamas and Israel wouldn't be talking about a ceasefire right now. Like, already so many things have changed, and he's not even in office yet. So this is a major victory, and it's just like, but you want us to then turn on the group that swept in and helped us with the incredibly powerful force. This incredible force multiplier in the information war, Elon Musk opening up X, the money to Donald Trump, the organization he provided to Donald Trump, the communication possibilities that have been opened up because X can now have, you know, everybody on it and verified so our networks can communicate. Just tangible, literal benefits to us. Does that mean that he's in charge? Does that mean that we owe him everything? Does that mean that, you know, he's the one that we listen to now? No, but he is the general of an incredibly powerful force that has helped us to achieve victory and is on our side. So why fight him? The goal is to win our country back. The goal is to achieve victory against the occupiers that are sitting in the halls of power and still destroying our country from the inside out. And Elon Musk has been a crucial part of the victory we've already achieved and is going to be necessary into the future to achieve more victory. But our camp now wants to turn and fight the people that just pulled our ass out of the fire. It feels good, I guess. Jones sold out to Elon. It's just no money has been exchanged and nothing about his coverage has changed. So riddle me that.
My fellow patriots, there are a lot of amazing Patriot gear, supplements, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. But we've now added a whole bunch of other really cool items. There are a bunch of amazing campaign coins for InfoWars, for 1776, for the fight for liberty on the site as low as $9.99. Some of the challenge coins are $14.97. They're great fundraisers for us. They have a lot of weight in them. They look great. They're great conversation starters, great gifts, great keepsakes, mementos, and you know that you've supported the InfoWar. So I want to thank you all for your past support and encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com, our amazing sponsor that will keep us on air one way or the other. If InfoWars get shut down, That's okay, because they're a great sponsor. They're not owned by me, and the bad guys won't be able to shut down the AlexJonesStore.com. So go there for the campaign coins and so much more today, and keep me in the fight. Thank you so much for your support. A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at the AlexJonesStore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock. Now, this concoction of turmeric is amazing and extremely bioavailable because it's loaded with ginger root and black pepper extract. Now, you might remember BrainForce Plus or BrainForce Ultra. We loaded that capsule with black pepper extract to ensure that it was as bioavailable as possible, and we used the same exact approach with Ultimate Turmeric. Now, if you're somebody who loves bodies, wants to fight for your joint health, and fight against inflammation, then Ultimate Turmeric gummies are an amazing solution for you. Not only are they delicious, but they benefit your health. Now, I'm somebody who struggles with inflammation. After I spent some time at Eagle Pass, I could hardly walk because my ankle was so swollen from walking around the border and catching what the New World Order was sponsoring in terms of the invasion of our country by these migrants. Countless millions of migrants. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com and experience the benefits of Ultimate Turmeric right now. Not only because it's amazing for your health and inflammation and your joints, but because by doing so, you're keeping InfoWars on the air, fighting for this crew, and ensuring that Alex Jones will always be on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C Plus. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is InfoWars. You're watching The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We've got some more clips of confirmation hearings in the U.S. Senate. And they are as nonsensical as last time. I don't know, from Pete Hegseth to Pam Bondi to now Besant. It's very sad. It's actually very sad. This is the state of our Congress. We'll go first, clip number six. You know, this is something that we saw yesterday with Adam Schiff questioning Pam Bondi, where he'd ask her a question, and the moment she would start responding, he would interject. It's very frustrating. It's like they're interjecting so fast, you can't even tell what the person was going to say. So it's like, what are you even interjecting for? Bernie Sanders is legitimately worse in this clip. The dude can hardly get a word out, Besant, and it's because Bernie Sanders is taking a little bit of a a dangerous line of questioning for a Democrat. See, he's talking about Joe Biden's farewell address, where Biden warns about an incoming class of oligarchs. And this is a little bit awkward because Joe Biden is the largest receiver of illicit or anonymous dark money funds in American history. So it might not be the type of accusation you want to lob at your opponents when you are much more guilty of the thing than they are. And you can see that this is it's not going well for old Bernie Sanders. And he says, just to filibuster his own question. And again, incredibly, incredibly frustrating and transparent what he's trying to do here. Let's go to clip number six. Bessent questioned by Bernie Sanders and has a brilliant response. Let's watch.
What Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
Oh man, we need the clip that goes longer than that. See if you guys can find the clip where it's extended, because Sanders immediately interrupts him and just desperately scrambles to try to reframe the way that he questions, and he goes back and forth. See if you can find the longer version of that, because I do want to show Bernie Sanders freaking out. But again, I don't need, like, just, you can just look into it yourself. I mean, the idea that the Democrats are talking about an oligarchy, I guess it's typical. I guess this is how it goes, but you have all of the billionaires minus one, minus one, maybe two. I don't know. Either they're in Trump's cabinet, like they're actually one of Trump's appointees for something as a billionaire, Mark Anderson or Vivek or Elon Musk. Like, that's it. Those are the billionaires on our side. Every other one is a Democrat supporter. So just like, what are they talking about? If we have the longer clip, let's go to that now, because you got to feel my frustration. We got to share this frustration of hearing Bernie Sanders, you know, desperately try to get the answer that he wants, and it's just not happening. Let's watch the
Biden
clip.
Said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
Nah, that's the same. That's the same length. We need a longer one. That was the same clip we just played. Regardless, let's just look at the actual facts here. In case you've never seen this chart before, this is whose employees have donated to Biden versus Trump, and these are all of the big corporations. More employees donated to Biden in blue and red in Trump. The only corporations in America giving more money to Trump than Biden are the U.S. Marines, the New York City Police Department, and the U.S. military. Not a single corporation. Yeah, 225 one. Let's go to that.
When you have a small number of multi-billionaires who have enormous economic, media, and political power, would you agree with President Biden, who last night stated, and I quote, "An oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights, and freedoms," end of quote. That's what President Biden said last night. I agree with him. Do you?
Senator Sanders, I enjoyed our visit.
You can talk a little bit closer into the mic.
I enjoyed our visit, and I hope you got my follow-up materials that we on the discussions, my previous writings on the tariffs and China. And look, the three billionaires who you listed, they all made the money themselves. Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant.
I understand that, but what I'm asking you is, when you have a handful of people like Musk, who will soon be part of the Trump administration, and others, when you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, when they spend huge amounts of money in both political parties to elect candidates, what Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power, that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
This is not a condemnation of any one individual. I'm just asking you, would so few people have so much wealth and power?
But
do you think that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Senator, I think it depends on the ability to move up and down the income.
No, that's not really the answer. I mean, even if you had that mobility, no matter who those individuals might be. All right, but let me ask you another question.
I mean, his worldview is just so inconsistent and baffling. Does he know what an oligarchy is? Oligarchy would mean that the people with the money have political power exclusively. It doesn't just mean that rich people exist or have influence or sway or can participate in the political process. It's when, like, things are decided by them and them exclusively for their own benefit. We clearly don't live in an oligarchy because the government often does things that are against the interests of the wealthy. That wouldn't happen in an oligarchical society. But he wants to use the word oligarchy, this word that defines a form of government, to just mean billionaires bad. And then when the guy's like, okay, but you have more billionaires and you are celebrating billionaires, you're giving the Medal of Freedom to billionaires. He's like, oh, it's not about the billionaires. It's like, well, of course it is. That's what you're talking about. It's just utterly inconsistent. It's like they think oligarchy is just the existence of billionaires. But when you point out that they have more billionaires on their side, they're like, it's not about the existence of billionaires. It's just like, so what is the issue here? What is the issue exactly? And I would have actually liked to hear Scott Bessent's response. It seemed to be ramping up some. It seemed to be somewhat interesting. And he's like listing out the billionaires that are on Trump's team. And he's like, yeah, all these guys started from nothing and built their own wealth by providing services that people wanted in a purely capitalistic sense. Like, none of these guys just inherited billions of dollars. Unlike, Alexander Soros, who's receiving the Medal of Freedom on behalf of his father, despite having never provided anybody anything that anyone wanted. Just pure nepotism and intergenerational wealth that was robbed from places like Britain when they crashed the pound, manipulate the market, impoverish everybody there, and run away with the winnings. I mean, you want to talk about oligarchy. And, of course, I mean, the numbers just don't add up, okay? From Bloomberg, Biden's $466 million bankroll tops Trump by $141 million. This was back when Biden was still the nominee before he was, ousted undemocratically by the higher ups in his party, like an oligarchy, like unelected wealthy people that run your system that simply chose your nominee, not giving the people in your party a choice or even an opportunity to vote. Yeah, that this was before that happened. OK, this was before Biden was ousted against his own will and against the will of the people in the Democratic Party. And then Kamala Harris was appointed by the wealthy, influencers in your organization. So you're railing against oligarchy. Right. Right. Of course, President Trump has more small donors under 200 than Biden. Most of Biden's money came from billionaires. 134 billionaires support Biden. Democrats take far more money from billionaires than Republicans. Facts matter. These facts are from Forbes magazine. Six dim supporting billionaires Biden didn't mention while calling out political oligarchy. George Soros, Reid Hoffman, Howard Schultz, Michael Bloomberg, and Tom Sayre have all supported President Biden. Very anti-Semitic headline there. The U.S. is a corrupt oligarchy. The richest 100 got $1.5 trillion wealthier under Biden. Richest 100 Americans got $1.5 trillion wealthier under Biden. And, of course, that's not even including the something like $4 trillion of wealth transfer from the lowest percentage to the top 1% that occurred because of the lockdowns and corporate consolidation during COVID. So all of these things tend to massively enrich the people at the top, massively impoverish the people at the bottom, and are supported and facilitated and carried out entirely by the Democratic wing of our government and media. From Forbes, Biden now up to 106 billionaire donors. Trump has 93. This was back in the 2020 election. So, it's not really anything new. It's not really anything particularly new. Then we have, of course, this image of, Google and Microsoft and Amazon and the U.S. government and Wells Fargo and just everybody other than the U.S. Marines, the New York Police Department, and the U.S. military voting entirely for Biden. So, the entire corporate world exists on the Democratic side. Did Joseph R. Biden, the top recipient of dark money support in the history of American politics, just call to get rid of dark money in politics? Grok confirms Joe Biden received $174 million in anonymous contributions, making him the top recipient of dark money support in American political history. And that doesn't even count the $1+ billion groups like Arabella spent for Dems in 2020 alone. The groups in the network, which also include Hopewell Fund, the New Venture Fund, North Fund, and Wind Fund, Windward Fund, were administered by a for-profit consulting firm called Arabella Advisors. Taken together, the Arabella Network spent a total of nearly $1.2 billion in 2020, including paying Arabella's a combined $46.6 million in 2020 in management fees, according to the fund's tax filings. That's saying we don't even get an accurate read of this. But talk about all these other foundations that are sponsored by, a foundation backed by Soros disclosed gifts of $17 million to 1630 and $5 million to Hopewell. So there, it's like not only is he getting direct funding from billionaires, the billionaires have this entire network of NGOs that are all just operating as money laundering machines, pour money into it. Then the organization gives money to the candidate or runs, ads on behalf of the candidate, the super PAC system, where they can spend infinite amounts of money. But then on top of that, you've got things like Act Blue that takes donations from millionaires and billionaires and then parcels them up into $10, $20 increments and says that they've been donated by, some retired person in Oklahoma who they claim has given $100,000 by donating 15 times a day for the last 2 years. And then you go and knock on that person's door and they're like, I gave to Act Blue once 15 years ago, but haven't given them anything recently. So they take these massive donations from millionaires and billionaires and then launder it through Act Blue to act like they're small time donations from average people. So there's like a variety of different ways that the Democrats conceal the support they get from the oligarchs they claim to fight, the billionaires and millionaires that they pretend to stand up against. And even with all of that deception, even with all of that, underhanded behavior, secretly parsing out the funds from billionaires to individual donors to make it look like a grassroots movement that they're running. Even with all of that, they still have significantly more billionaire donors. Even with all of those little tricks, they still have massively more wealthy donors than the right wing has. So maybe that's why Bernie Sanders was interrupting. Maybe that's what he didn't want to actually be addressed. The legitimate concerns about a real oligarchy in this country that is entirely, completely, pathologically leftist. Okay? Anyway, it just goes on and on. And I shouldn't even have to tell you, it's all eminently observable all the time. But apparently, Bernie Sanders is relying on your ignorance to make these claims. Clip number 18 is Scott Bessent talking to Ron Wyden, and I don't even know what this clip says. I just want you to look at Ron Wyden's face. I know that the left and the right, you know, both have our fair share of freaky-looking weirdos, okay? But the left wing is massively overrepresented in the freaky-looking weirdo demographic. Some Democratic politicians are so freaky-looking. I can't help, in my conspiratorial mind, I can't help but think that this is some form of psychological warfare. Like demoralization, where you see these guys and you're like, how can we be ruled by people like this? Like, what is this even? You're Maxine Waters's, right? You're Ron Wyden's, you're Adam Schiff's. These people look like bad caricatures of already ugly people. And there's something very disturbing about this. So we're going to go to this clip of Ron Wyden. But again, there's something about the pasty, splotchy complexion, the doll-like eyes, the bizarre cadence of his voice. There's something wrong with the Democrats. And you can see it on their faces. Let's go to clip 18. I guess this is Scott Bessent making Ron Wyden look completely useless. I don't know, though, because whenever I see Ron Wyden's face, my ears stop working. And I just start hearing a high-pitched ringing that gets louder and louder, like a demon from hell is approaching. So I can't actually hear whenever he talks. It's just it's like the sound of screaming far away. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When you look at certain people, you just feel like your soul is being threatened. Let's watch Ron Wyden, and I apologize for showing you his face.
The more you reduce carbon, the bigger your tax savings. Now there is a big effort in the Trump administration to reverse it. I think that's going to be bad for the economy, but it is going to be damn good for China, because we are in an arms race on clean energy with them. Are you going to be on the side of people who want to unravel this?
Senator...
Normal-looking people.
Just so we can frame
people with
this
human
for
physiology. What a pleasant
China
respite.
China will build 100 new coal plants this year. There is not a clean energy race.
Strong jaw.
There is an energy race.
Flesh-colored
China
faces.
China will build 10 nuclear plants this year.
Normal
that is not
hair.
Solar. I am in favor of more nuclear plants. And I would note that the IRA, as scored by the CBO, is wildly out of control in terms of spending on the upside.
Well, so it's actually a good point. I probably shouldn't have been talking during that. It's just there's something metaphysical that we're fighting here. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that you can judge a book by its cover. Scott Bessent was actually making a great point there. He says that we're not in a clean energy race with China. We're in an energy race with China. And I mean, Ron Wyden is trying to make the argument that China is outpacing us in clean energy. And Scott Bessent is like, they're building 100 coal power plants a month. Like, what the hell are you talking about? So good. Good to have somebody who's actually aware of the just patent absurdity baked into the Democrat worldview. Just utterly disconnected from reality, not just wrong, but the inversion of truth, the sheer 180 degree inversion of reality, saying that China is beating us with clean energy when in reality they're doing the exact opposite. Totally crazy. I have some other clips from there, but I want to move on now to some other stories, and I want to maybe take a bit of a wider view here in terms of what's actually happening in the world right now, and like I really don't know how to get into this or how to lay it out. Basically, what's happened is that there's an alternative to TikTok called Red Note, which, of course, is a play on Mao's Red Book. And, you know, TikTok, as we know it, it's a Chinese company, but it's got an American subsidiary. And the TikTok that we see is the American TikTok. and is largely free from, you know, the algorithmic censorship that China does for its own people. And you can argue whether that's a good thing or not. You know, it might be beneficial to have TikTok feeding kids videos of science experiments rather than twerking. That would definitely be good, but do you want to open the door to the government deciding what's good or bad for your children, especially considering that our government would actually ban science videos and would force TikTok into your feed? So, you know, we don't want our government having those types of controls anyway. Maybe if we had a government like China that actually at least seemingly cared to, you know, seemed to care about its people. Again, I think a lot of this is propaganda anyway. I'll show you the videos probably on the other side, where it's people, because now Red Note, this new TikTok alternative, now that TikTok is apparently going to be banned on Sunday, it's not like an American version of a Chinese app. It's just a Chinese app. So now people are going on there and they're like meeting Chinese people and talking to Chinese people. And the Chinese people are telling them how great their lives are and how amazing communism is. And you've got all these Americans sort of flipping out about that. So there, see, it's like almost impossible to talk about, because it's like, okay, I was going to say, you know, so their plan about TikTok backfired. They're like, oh, there's too much Chinese influence on TikTok. Let's ban it. And then there's this other app that has way more Chinese influence that everybody's migrating to. So it's like, oh, well, that backfired hugely. But then all that's predicated on a false premise anyway, because TikTok was never banned because of its Chinese influence. It was banned because of the anti-Israel content on it. So this is the thing. If you don't actually know why these things are happening, you're going to be, you know, doing analysis that's just, gets off on the wrong foot and is wrong from the very beginning, wrong from the get-go. But I'm sort of torn because, you know, obviously this is the plan. The plan is to make life in America so miserable, to increase suffering so much that people are desperate for just anything they think is different and potentially better. Like they don't even care if, like, well, when this was implemented in the past, it killed 100 million people. They're like, yeah, but our system sucks, so we need to try something, and this is the only thing we can think of. So then they try to implement communism or socialism, which is why it's so important for them that they destroy American history, because the fact is that American history is the answer. I mean, the American system as it used to be is the solution to all the problems that we're facing now. It's not that the American system was broken from the beginning. It's that it's been subverted and undermined and largely destroyed, and now is walking around as a zombified shell version of itself. If we get back to the basics, the American system is the one that pulls people up from poverty, that provides for everybody, that gives everybody an equal chance, that, you know, it doesn't matter where you start from, you can be in charge one day. That's the American system, and we've lost that. So now people are turning to communism.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS gummies are finally back in stock. Now, this is our number one bestseller at the alexjonesstore.com, and for good reason. Ultimate CMOS gummies are loaded with iodine, which we know that our thyroid needs in order to effectively detox our bodies from all the pollutants and toxins that are in the food, water, and air that we breathe. Folks, we are under relentless assault from the New World Order. They're trying to shut down InfoWars. They're trying to silence Alex Jones, and they're trying to attack our minds and our bodies with all of these toxins and chemicals that are all around us all the time. Please check out Ultimate CMOS Gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com and benefit from the amazing benefits of this product. It's got bladderwrack and burdock root in it, which is also rich in iodine. It's the amazing, most bioavailable way to get iodine in your thyroid. Please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and experience the benefits of the antioxidant and immune support, energy and bone strength, helps promote heart health, provides gut support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Check it out right now at the alexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. So as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambuca's gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. A lot of videos to show you. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. In the third hour, we'll be joined by IMA. We actually did a pre-recorded video yesterday since she's all the way in Australia. So we did an evening time recording. It was the morning for her. And had a lot of fun. I think you will enjoy it. She, of course, is the artist behind Carmageddon, who got fired by her, or split with her management because they wanted her to change the lyrics and she refused. And that has been a choice that has led to massive success. So it's very fun to talk to her about that whole process and what she's going through, and advice for young conservative artists out there, although I don't even know if I'd say conservative, just anti-establishment. Stay tuned for that. All right. We're going to talk about the problems in America. We're going to talk about the economic problems. Talk about the demographic problems, talk about the morality problem, the morale problem. I think it all is sort of summed up in this clip. When I saw this clip on X, something broke in my brain. And I don't even know how to set this up for you. Clip number 13. This is the governor of New York's State of the State address. You know, Biden has the State of the Union, where he talks about just the overall condition of America. It's a very big deal. States do the same thing. Governor will come out and give the State of the State address. This is the New York State of the State address in 2025. Clip 13. Just fair warning. I can't even explain what you're about to see. This is the State of the State address, the official address from the governor of New York. Here it is. Alright, for our radio listeners, how do I even explain this? It's a bunch of old people in black suits, vaguely choreographed dancing, mostly just incoherent flailing. And the label on it says New York Governor Hochul's State of the State. That's what this is, I guess. Okay? We got a young black lesbian who's really into it. What are we watching here? What is this? What could this possibly mean? Why is this going on? Who are these people? Why are they wearing black suits? Why do all the women look like they're about to die? I mean, what is this song? It's the State of the State address from the governor of New York. It's like a bad SNL skit. It's like a cutaway from 30 Rock. I don't know what we're seeing. I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is supposed to be impressive. If this is supposed to, like, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I am just utterly baffled at this point as to what it is we're watching, why it's going on, who's just determined this, who this group of people is, why they're not even remotely in tune with one another. So they're all just like on different dance moves at different times. I don't know. It's just it's just a very diverse group of weirdos in ill-fitting black suits flailing their limbs around in some semblance of concert. I don't, you know, I can understand if you're going to have, you know, something, you're showing off your state, you're going to want to have, like, the best in the state to show, like, your cultural importance. Maybe you want to have, like, a high school team to come up to be like, you know, look how cool and good our kids are. But I don't know what this is. And I just feel like every morning I wake up and this type of thing assaults my eyes. And I'm just like, where do I live? What is this? And when does it end? When is it over? Can we finish this already?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. We got some crazy news still to cover. By the way, quickly, another arson suspect was arrested in California as wildfires spread. California State Parks announced Friday the arrest of Gloria Lynn Mandich, 60, in connection with a brush fire that ignited near Leo Correa Carrillo State Park in Los Angeles County. The arrest comes as California continues to battle multiple destructive wildfires fueled by strong Santa Ana winds and dry conditions. Thousands of acres have burned, prompting evacuation orders and widespread damage. The fires have already resulted in at least 10 confirmed deaths and destroyed more than 10,000 structures across the region. They're still investigating the origin of these fires, but all the fires with origins determined so far have been arson. Mandich was booked into Ventura County Jail on a felony charge of arson under California Penal Code 451D, which that's kind of clever, isn't it? The charge of arson is 451. Very cute. It's scheduled to appear in Ventura County Superior Court. Authorities say the fire, which started on January 8th, was quickly extinguished by the Los Angeles County Fire Department. Mandich's arrest is the second since the fires began. Earlier this week, law enforcement detained a man near the Kenneth Fire in Woodland Hills on suspicion of arson. However, following further investigation, Los Angeles Police Department officials determined there is insufficient probable cause to charge him with arson. Yeah, he was just running away from the breakout of the fire with a blowtorch. But don't read into it or anything. Crazy. Now, the interesting thing about this woman, I don't know if it's mentioned in this article, but she is a climate change activist. Gloria Lynn Mandich. You know, one of those environmentalists that's just starting fires to help out, I guess. 60-year-old Kentucky woman charged with arson for allegedly setting brush fire near L.A. wildfires. And yeah, she's a climate change activist. This is what I'm thinking. I think if the climate change activists really wanted to be clever, they would go to the DMV, they'd go to their state house or wherever, and they would change their name to climate change before they started the fires. That way they'd give the media a chance to, you know, with no obfuscation, say these fires were the fault of climate change. These fires were started by climate change. They just don't tell you that climate change is the name of an arsonist hobo Antifa member who set all of the fires. That's our good friend climate change. He sets fires in the woods. then you could call it, then you could say the fires were started by climate change. Okay? I'm just giving advice to my enemies here. If you want to start a fire to make people aware of the dangers of climate change, you should change your name to climate change so that they can say it was climate change that started the fire. And, it, you know, it is one of those things, again, I've told the story a million times, but, you know, it's weird how often it happens that the people that are genuinely concerned about something get so mad that you don't care about the thing that they're going to make the thing happen to prove themselves right. Like, I remember talking about false flags with a friend of mine who, full disclosure, is Israeli. And he actually made the argument like, well, you know, if people don't realize the danger that terrorism presents, you know, maybe you need to show them. Like, they don't think there's any threat. Well, maybe, you know, if you let a big attack happen, you can point to it and go, see, we told you this was a big threat. You didn't believe us. Well, now look. And it's like, but you're the one that did it. Like, literally, there's something crazy about this. But it sort of spans all of these topics where you've got somebody that's like really concerned about climate change. They try to get us to be concerned, and we're just like, nah, it's fake. We don't care. They get so mad. They're like, we'll see. They don't think there's a risk of fire. We'll show them fire. And then they go start a fire. And then they point to it and go, see, I was right. It's climate change. But like, you started the fire. So what are you proving? It's weird, but this actually happens quite a bit in a lot of different ways. Oh, you don't think that these people are a threat? Well, you don't think Trump supporters are insurrectionists? You don't think they're violent? Well, we, the FBI, will coordinate a kidnapping scheme against Gretchen Whitmer, and we'll get MAGA people to go along with it. See what a big threat they are? No, you did that. False flag climate change attacks. So, again, I want to play these videos, but the timeline of this is so funny to me. In like 2018 or something, there was discussion about banning TikTok because of the negative influence it had and because of the fact that it was Chinese and it was giving the Chinese government direct access to the phones of Americans. And it went nowhere, completely died on the vine, never made it through the committee. It was just talked about a little bit, but never, you know, any serious action to move it forward despite the desire of a lot of people. Didn't go anywhere. Wasn't possible. That's outrageous. We have the First Amendment. This is a U.S., you know, it's an American corporation. They get to, you know, change whatever they want. People don't want to use TikTok. They don't have to use TikTok. There's nothing we can do to stop it. Sorry, our hands are tied. Then October 7th happened. Then people started posting videos from Gaza on TikTok. And then they decided they needed to stop that. And then you had things like Nikki Haley going on the presidential debate stage and saying, every 15 minutes somebody spends on TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic. And she actually said that, and people actually took it seriously, which in and of itself is very depressing. That they added actual percentage amount that your anti-Semitism increased spending 15 minutes on an app, which most of the time I've ever been on it, I'm seeing like extreme sports. I'm seeing like, check out this guy skydiving down a mountain. But that's okay. You know, you watch a guy skydive down a mountain, suddenly you're reading about Magnus Hirschfeld. It's a bizarre phenomenon, I guess. But now, then, you know, Israel wanted TikTok banned. So in like a week, they had the entire bill, not just written, but passed through the committees on the floor for a vote. And it was approved. So well done, Israel. So you can't actually just say that outright. Like, clearly that's what's actually happening. And when, like, you read between the lines, it's obvious what the impetus of this was. But in order to divert blame of the, you know, from this away from Israel towards, you know, China and Trump, I guess, it was said, oh, it was the Chinese influence that we're trying to shut down. And so now we're getting close to the you know, scheduled shutdown of TikTok. And TikTok could have been sold to an American company. They decided, no, we'll just shut it down. We don't want to be sold to an American company so that they can, you know, have even more. And it's like these American companies, like they're less American than the Chinese ones. So it's all crazy anyway. But it gets shut down under claims of, you know, they want to avoid Chinese influence and avoid Chinese indoctrination of our people. Not that that was going on anyway. So then all the TikTokers, pissed off at this, find an alternative TikTok. It's called Red Note, which is named after Mao's Red Book, which is a not an American version of a Chinese app, but it's just a straight-up Chinese app. People are, I guess, communicating on this, talking to Chinese people, seeing videos from China, and are deciding that America sucks now. So it's like massively backfired if, in fact, the point of banning TikTok was to ban the Chinese influence, which it wasn't. But taking that as an assumption, then this just utterly backfired. And it's backfired in a whole bunch of different ways. And the people that are making videos about this and talking about the realizations they're having are not wrong from the outset. Their conclusions are wrong. And I can't help but think that's all part of the, Cloward Piven kind of agenda. The deconstructionist, rules for radicals kind of agenda, where they want people giving up on America. The whole point of all of this, of all the chaos, of all of the misery, of all of the nonsense that we're being put through, is to convince people that the American system is failed and wrong and bad and corrupted and evil, and that the only alternative solution is socialism and communism and one world government. So that's what all of this is actually psychologically programming people to follow. Now, apparently the Supreme Court has upheld the TikTok ban, setting the stage for the shutdown. But the Biden administration said they're not going to shut it down. They're going to leave it up to the Trump administration. And Trump is not in favor of the TikTok ban. Although Trump could choose not to enforce the law, it's unclear whether third-party internet service providers will trust that they won't face any consequences for failing to comply. Under the terms of the law, third-party internet services like Apple and Google will be penalized for supporting TikTok after the law's deadline. Again, I think this whole thing is wrong and bad, and it's just a bunch of problems that are being caused for us because, well, the Israelis didn't like people talking about them on TikTok. So we could just not be ruled by them. That would be an option we could take. But I want to go to some of these videos from this Red Note app that's now number one on the app stores that is straight up Chinese. Clip number three. I think it's clip number three. I got two of them here. Yeah, let's go to clip number three here. This one's posted saying a lot of Americans are starting to ask questions. Let's watch.
Hey, U.S. government, you have some explaining to do. So I downloaded the little red book and I made a new bestie. We were just talking about the differences and similarities between China and the U.S. And she ended up going to the market and sent me a picture of her local market. I picked what was familiar to me and what I knew, and that was corn on the cob. I seen that 1 kilogram, which I found out was 2.2 pounds, was 6.90 yen. So I went on Google because it's free, right? And I looked up to see what would that be in U.S. dollars. 94 cents. 94 cents. What would it be here in America, you might ask? When you do the math, $7. Is this what they don't want us to know?
See, apparently corn is cheap in China. I don't even know the point he's trying to make. I mean, all this stuff is kind of difficult to talk about because he does the conversion from yen to dollars, but that's like a little bit dishonest. In 2023, the average income in China was 33,000 Chinese yen, which is equal to 4,500 United States dollars. So, I get that, corn might be 25 cents there where it's a dollar here, but our average income is something like $30,000 or $40,000. The Chinese average income is 1/10 of that. So it's not exactly 1-to-1. Okay. In addition to that, I mean, most of what you see out of China is like propaganda and controlled. There are cities in China that are absolutely massive, like unbelievably massive. I mean, Wuhan is one of them, right? Who even heard of Wuhan before the Wuhan virus came out of there? It's got like 1 billion people in that city. I mean, it's crazy. The cities are miserable. I don't know if you've ever seen the inside of a Chinese apartment, but if you're in America, walk to your closest bedroom and look in the closet, and that's about, and then imagine living in it. Then imagine having a kitchen and a bathroom in there too. It's, you know, China's not good. It's not great. It's not great. It's achieved a lot in the last, you know, 30 years, but that's strictly out of American companies outsourcing their manufacturing there and massively building up China on purpose using American money. Just look at like where China was in 1990. It was like 95% of their population was still like peasants in poverty. So, I mean, they've gained a lot in the last 30 years. And there are cities that are very flashy and fancy and look very nice in China. And I'm sure there are parts of China that are nice. But it's also a slave state where you have to scan your face to get on a train. And if they don't like your ideas, then they'll put you on the slow train or maybe not even sell you a ticket. And there are still millions upon millions of Chinese peasants who live in absolute destitution and misery. So, again, you got to have some perspective on this. You can't just take the price of corn and run it through a currency converter and say, oh my God, America has failed. These are not the things we're supposed to judge civilizations on. But it does get deeper, and there are legitimate concerns being expressed, you know, in this forum. Let's go to clip number 17 now. Red Note seems to have opened some people's eyes to the fact that U.S. citizens are treated like corporate livestock. Again, the problem this woman is identifying is very real and has to be empathized with. And this is a problem conservatives have in general. We'll talk about it on the other side. But you can see how this misery that this woman is expressing, that you'll see in just a second, is clearly being weaponized against the United States itself in order to try to drive people towards communism or socialism. And through the Red Note, they're being presented this false view of China in order to denigrate and demoralize America. So let's go to the clip. And again, her concerns are very real, and they have to be confronted by America if we want to continue to exist. The last thing we should do is go to socialism and communism, but we'll explain the reality on the other side. Let's go to clip 17 now.
Say for this, because I've reached the part in this whole like class consciousness part.
Class consciousness,
where
I'm communism.
Filled with the most impotent rage.
Yep, that's communism.
And like, I'm talking that white hot, I need to sink my teeth into something and scream kind of rage.
Yep.
Because
yep.
What?
That's
do you
why you're not thinking logically.
That it never had to be this hard for us. Like, what do you mean in other countries they don't have to spend 20% of their paycheck on groceries? What do you mean in other countries everyone can own homes because they're not paying $2,000 a month in rent? Or that their mortgages aren't like their entire paycheck? What do you mean that people in China work one job and they don't even work 40 hours and they can easily afford their life? And then I'm over here working 60 hours a week, just me as a single parent, to like barely make ends meet. And I'm penny pinching every single second. And like, there's so much of life that my kid misses out on and that I miss out on because of money and like work and no social support net. And you mean to tell me that it didn't have to be like this? They keep us in these chains on purpose, and it never had to be like this. Like, I did everything right. I went to college. I had to drop out of college to take care of my mom when she was sick because, again, no social services, like, no safety net. My dad worked his whole life and died and left everything to my mom. My mom was disabled, and she lived on credit, and, like, she barely made ends meet, and she did everything she was supposed to. And I did everything I was supposed to. And it just keeps getting worse. It was never supposed to be like this. And I'm so angry that it is. Because what do you mean? I've spent so much of my life working so hard to scrape by. And it never had to be like that. My suffering was at the expense of someone else becoming wealthy because they could. And I am so angry about this. It can't stay like this. It doesn't have to stay like this.
All right, so where do you even begin with this woman? Okay. First of all, this is what communists and socialists indoctrination does to you. You can tell from the first moment of the video. She's like, as I've gone down this path of awareness of class consciousness, it's like, okay. So you've been brainwashed by the communists, and now you're sad and miserable and hopeless. Okay, that should be your first clue as to whether this path is healthy or not. And she talks about impotent, white-hot rage. She wants to just bite something, and it's like, okay, so you're not thinking logically. You're not calmly, like, actually thinking about this. You're literally admitting that, like, you're just reacting savagely to things that you don't understand, like an animal. Okay. Not the best way to actually consider, you know, the political outlook. But the people that put you in this state know that, which is why you've been put in this state. She says it never had to be this way. And again, she's right. She's right in general. Like, you can't discount the way people are feeling. And a lot of people are feeling this way. And this is something that we talked a lot about. It sort of slowed down, but for a while there was this trend of, like, young women in their cars just, like, literally weeping, being like, I'm never going to get married. I can't have friends. I don't have time to do anything. I can't afford the place I'm living. And, you know, the conservative response is just, like, laugh at these people. Or, you know, there's a big debate on X right now about, like, young men feel hopeless and feel like it's, like, nothing is worth it, and they're never going to get ahead, and they're never going to be in charge, and they're never going to get out of debt. And there's a lot that's just like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not so bad, kid. And it's like, no, you entered the workforce 40 years ago. You have no idea what it's like. Now you have to have empathy for the young people that are suffering like this, because they're going to vote. They're going to be in charge. And right now, the only people offering them a solution are communists that want to rob and exploit and enslave them. So you have to give them another option. You can't just ignore their pain. You can't just discredit their life experience, because it's real and it's not human and not good. Now, the question I would want to ask these people that are looking around going, to quote her, it never had to be this way. Has it always been this way? If it hasn't always been this way, how was it before? And what has changed since then? Have we gotten more conservative? Is that why it's worse? Or is it a direct correlation between the more socialist we get, the worse everything is? It's like a one-to-one dependent relationship. It didn't used to be this way. It used to be that you could work 40 hours doing manual labor and fund a family of six where the wife doesn't work and you both have a car and you live in your own house with a big yard in a safe neighborhood. Like, none of these things are, but not a single aspect of this is possible anymore. Even to have a house in a safe neighborhood is like, you have to be a millionaire at this point. So things have gone wrong. They've gone very wrong. And it's in direct proportion to how far removed we are from the original American experiment and the intentions of the American philosophy. But right now you've got the American system that worked so well for so long that until, like, the 80s still was set up to provide people the chance to have comfortable lives with just basic, you know, work. And people would go to work and, you know, feel fulfilled in that way because they knew they were contributing to a, you know, a cohesive and positive civilization. Then it starts to go off the rails. Then it starts to get manipulated a little bit. Then it starts to get twisted and the foundations are undermined. Now we're in this horrible situation where everything is broken and nothing works and everybody's insane. And the the communists are the only ones offering a solution.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C plus. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
For listeners and viewers that have gone to thealexjonesstore.com and gotten Ultimate CMOS, which is the ultimate superfood, chock full of organic iodine and all these key vitamins and minerals, and the way God has the Irish CMOS grow, the way it all fuses together, just has incredible effects. It's right up there with him for just being a over-the-top superfood. I've been on it for now 4 or 5 months, and the clarity, the focus, my skin, my energy, the weight loss is insane. And so, Ultimate CMOS is available at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you love that product, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to want two of the new gummy products that are in Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Iron and Vitamin C. Both of these powerful gummy products are available right now with a big bottle jammed right at the top with these babies. Both of these amazing formulas are now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars is back on the air. The judge is having emergency hearings. Looks like their fraudulent sale won't go through. But regardless, I'm suing the daylights out of the Democratic Party and the big national gun control group that's actually behind The Onion and has now admitted it in court. So, we also have backup studios, the Alex Jones Network. Whatever they do, we're staying on air to make sure Trump gets into office and to back him and his agenda to stop World War III, secure the borders, and more. But we can't do it without your support. So there are all these new, amazing, incredible designs up on thealexjonesstore.com. It has nothing to do with InfoWars. Not owned by me, so they can never get that. That's how we stay on the air, even if they're successful in shutting us down. If you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you get great supplements, t-shirts, limited edition collectible fundraiser posters, and more, you will keep me on the air regardless of the Alex Jones Network. Please go to the site now, thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on air. They're amazing products. Thank you so much for taking action. You are the resistance.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. Again, this topic sort of ties into a lot of stuff going on right now. I mean, on X, the controversy du jour. And my God, we've been through a lot. There's a lot of controversies. It's like at this point they're overlapping. You used to at least get a day or two break between them. But now the minor point derailing the entire right wing is whether young men should get jobs at fast food places. Totally crazy. But it breaks down into whether or not you have empathy and concern for the lives of young people who are entering the workforce in a very different condition than the boomers did or Gen X did. And it's strange how these Gen Xers are morphing into boomers before our very eyes. And again, you have this woman breaking down, and I sort of get the impulse to just like not take her seriously because she's being totally hysterical and she's just completely off the mark about everything. But like, you have to understand this, how a lot of people feel. And the reality of what she's talking about, having to work 60 hours a week, not having time for anything, feeling like you're missing out on your kids' lives because you're working all the time, having to take care, you know, having to drop out of college, take care of your mom because she's sick and you can't afford health insurance. Like, all these are legitimate problems that should be addressed by the government. If this woman was your sister, would you disregard what she's saying? Would you mock her or laugh at her or, you know, just call her a communist? These are real concerns, and we have to have care for these people and for the young men that have been discriminated against and despised by their own country for their entire lives. And the solution to this is America. It's the way America used to be. We have to let people know that all these problems that you're talking about are not part and parcel with the American governmental system or capitalism. These are distortions and perversions of these things, and it's happened over time as these things have been watered down and deliberately destroyed for a variety of different reasons. But again, the psychological play here is to cause mass suffering and then act like you need more of what you're offering, even though what you're offering is the thing causing the mass suffering, and people can't see through this apparently. I mean, there's a million different ways that this manifests itself, but just again going through what this woman was saying. You know, clearly from the outset, she's talking about class consciousness. That's a total communist psyop, which means that she started this video already sort of primed to be receptive to the communist indoctrination. But again, if you're not addressing these concerns, and communists are, don't be surprised when people become communists. If somebody says, I've worked my ass off, I've done everything I'm supposed to do, I got good grades in college, and now I can't get a job. If you just look at them and go, well, get a job at a fast food place, bucko. And the communists are there going, actually, it's because you're being kept down and we're going to revolt and the world will be yours. Who do you think they're going to go with? This is just human nature. The correct response to this is we need to get back to how it was. We need to get back to the 1950s. We need to make America great again. We need to undo all of this government intervention that has made everything terrible. And, you know, coincidentally enough, in an act of serendipity, this headline dropped today because she's sitting there going, my mom, you know, got sick and I had to drop out of college because we don't have any social services. Meanwhile, headline from today, 15,500 people died waiting for health care in Canada. 15,500 Canadians died because their social health system just didn't have time for them. Just couldn't get to them in time to save them. Canada's socialized health care culture of death, 15,000 plus die awaiting care. 15,000 plus euthanized. Again, from BBC, assisted dying now accounts for 1 in 20 Canadian deaths. 1 out of every 20 people who died in Canada died at the hands of a doctor administering poison to their IV. why can't we be more like Canada? It's like, I don't know, because I don't want to die sitting in a waiting room while 10,000 Indians get priority. By the way, do you know that in the UK, their National Health Service, totally collapsing, just astronomically expensive, unimaginable how much money they pour into the NHS. And it was recently uncovered they had secret instructions to the NHS to give priority to non-UK citizens. So the people actually funding this to the tune of billions of dollars like a month were put at the back of the line, as anybody from Eritrea got to jump right to the front and take advantage of the services that they never paid into and will never have to pay for. So this is an illusion. The socialist communist solution is a lie, but it's the only lie being offered. So, you know, it's like people who live in a place that used to be a garden, and then for decade upon decade of mismanagement, the garden has slowly died. There's nothing but, you know, inert dirt and sand, and these people are like starving. They're dying of thirst. And the people who are in charge of managing the garden are going, well, maybe you need to just learn not to drink. Maybe, you know, you're thirsty because you're dumb and you should just work harder. Then maybe you'll get water. Meanwhile, there are people like just on the other side of the fence with a beautiful cold glass of ice water, but it's got poison in it. But they're going to drink it. They're going to go drink that water because he's the only one offering them. You're sitting there telling them to enjoy their desert. Because that water is bad, but it's water. They're going to go for the water. So you got to give them water. You got to offer them something. People are in pain. They're desperate. They see everything sucks. They want a solution. They want to be proud of their country. They want to participate, but you're not offering them anything. The communists are. It's poison. It's water, but it's got some arsenic in it. But they're so thirsty, they're going to drink anyway. So you got to offer them something. The thing is that America is the solution. It always has been. I've often pointed to this book about Italy in the 1930s. It's actually a prequel to The Godfather by Mario Puzo, and sort of a Robin Hood-esque character. And a lot of the book, talks about the political conflicts in Italy that, of course, eventually led to the rise of fascism and Benito Mussolini. This was all an anti-communist revolution. But the main character in this book is going, there's all these peasants in Italy. And of course, you know, Europe always had these sort of stratified populations where people who were rich stayed rich and their kids were rich, and the people who were poor stayed poor and their kids would be poor. And that's just kind of how it was. And the people of Europe were looking around going, we're sick of this. We don't want to be peasants forever. We don't deserve this, and you don't deserve what you have. What's going on here? We got to have something else. And the main character is going, I understand why people are going to the communists, because they're the only ones offering a solution to this problem. That the people don't own anything and they can't ever own anything and their children won't ever own anything. That's intolerable. They're going to try to fight back against that. And here come the communists to tell them we have the solution. And then the main character says they're the only ones offering the solution except for America. Because America also has a solution to this problem. It's called capitalism. It's called, you know, an undivided populace. Where you come to America, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter how rich you were when you started off. If you work hard, you're going to succeed. And if you work exceptionally hard or have exceptionally good ideas, you're going to succeed to an exceptional level. That's the alternative to communism. It's America. And it's not capitalism per se. Capitalism is just a natural outcome of freedom. Because if you just let people be in a state of nature, pretty much, they're gonna share some things, they're gonna collaborate on some things, but mostly they're going to exchange goods for services, and they're gonna establish capitalism. It's just a natural consequence of telling people, go do whatever you want, go behave in a way that benefits you and your community, and people will, you know, naturally exchange things, and both sides will benefit, and everybody does better. I think what I have is worth this much. You think what I have is worth more. We change it. I get what I want. You got what you want. Everybody wins. This is the solution, actually. And when it's properly functioning, like in the 50s or the 60s, then you have, yes, classes of people that are millionaires and billionaires and far above the average. Fine. But the average is a single income home with two cars and their own yard, and they own their home. and they could retire at 50 and get a house on the lake and enjoy their times. So like that is the ideal America. And it's not like communism where, you know, it's like, well, that they just didn't try it right. It's like there's the meme where it's talking about the Nazis, but it's actually more true about America, where you've got, you know, all the communists going, you know, that was a real communism. That doesn't count. You can't include that. And then it's like America. And it's like it was perfect down to the last letter of everywhere. It was perfect. It was beautiful what we used to have. And so we want to get back to there. We don't need a new thing. We don't need to try something that fails every time it's implemented. We don't need to go to China. And this thing, again, you have to be brainwashed to believe this stuff about China. Have these people never heard of suicide nets? Are they not aware of the working conditions of China to this day? I'm just going to say the word again. Suicide nets in factories. So their workers can't kill themselves and take their final escape. And you don't kill yourself if there's another option available, right? So she's sitting there going, you know, acting like, you know, the Chinese workers are treated really well and paid really well. Then why are they flinging themselves off the roof so much that they have to build nets to stop it, lady? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, you look into that stuff, and again, it's like, you know, it just everything has been perverted and destroyed at this point. And most of it started off good, and most of it is necessary. It's just you have to have hard line about, you know, what these institutions are for and who they serve and why they're implemented. Like right now, unions are just horrible, right? They're just totally not fit for purpose. Most of the time, their collective bargaining, you know, is used just to achieve weird political ends. Like, but then again, you've got the situation in China, the suicide nets, amongst other things. In one of the Foxconn manufacturing plants, the workers were advocating for and sort of agitating for just like basic breaks, you know, just things that we take for granted here in America, but just like, gee, it'd be nice if we could get bathroom breaks and you know, didn't have to work 12 hours a day, and maybe we could eat lunch. That would be nice. Like really basic things that they wanted. But they don't have unions. They don't have collective bargaining. And so what ended up happening was every single person in the factory went to the roof of the factory all at once and told the executives, we're all going to kill ourselves if you don't make these concessions. So it's like that's sort of what has to happen if you don't have things in place to like facilitate workers' rights and objections like that. Like we have that in America. We actually solve that problem. We're pretty good at that. China, on the other hand, you have an entire company all collectively putting a gun to their head and saying, we're all going to kill ourselves unless you give us vacation. And it worked. I mean, they got vacation, but that's what they had to do. Life and death in Apple's Forbidden City. Yeah, where iPhones are made. Because, by the way, the reason all of these conditions exist is largely due to Steve Jobs deliberately creating the, you know, yearly cycle of new phones. I mean, go watch or listen to a podcast about, like, the rise of Apple and Steve Jobs. Like, these are the people that, you know, his wife is now running the Atlantic and she's all about climate change. Meanwhile, her husband or late husband, Steve Jobs, probably the single person most responsible for environmental destruction the world has ever seen. And more than literally anybody. I mean, you think about the you know, the plastic island in the Pacific, of course, just the growth of China, which in and of itself is massively damaging for the ecology, because the more manufacturing goes over there, the less, you know, pollution restrictions there are on the manufacturing. So it just, you know, everything gets worse. But then also, you know, deliberately, because this whole thing was like, we don't want people just to like buy a phone from us and then buy another phone 10 years from now. We need to, you know, create this atmosphere and this culture of every year I need a new one. meaning every year we need to make a new phone, meaning there's a constant stream of manufacturing of billions of phones that the spigot will never turn off. I mean, if you want to point to one thing that has had the most environmental harm, it's probably that concept itself of what's the word for it? I always blank on the word, like light bulbs, designed obsolescence, I think it's called, manufactured obsolescence, planned obsolescence. There you go. That's exactly what Steve Jobs decided was the greatest way to make profit, was to have planned obsolescence in all of their machines. And it's these people that are telling us they're saving, you know, the world from climate change by telling you you can't own a car or eat meat anymore. I mean, all of it is just a giant scam, and people need to realize this. And again, the greatest question is, if you can recognize that everything's getting worse, can you recognize that things are getting less traditional, less conservative, less freedom, more government intervention in a direct line to how much worse everything is getting? Have you noticed that the greatest examples of, you know, income inequality are on display in the most socialist states in America, like California? Have you noticed any of these things? Probably not. But again, whether it's right or left, people who actually genuinely love America are not doing a sufficient job in describing and explaining how the American system is the solution to these problems. Instead, they choose to discredit the problems, pretend like the problems aren't actually happening, or pretend like you're just, you know, whining and spoiled and want everything handed to you. Well, why not? Why shouldn't we be able to work a minimum amount and fund our family? Why should we, you know, be worked to death constantly and never see any benefits from it? This is messed up. We are hugely off course right now. And we have to make the case that to solve these problems, we have to get back to where we were, not chart a new path towards communism and socialism, because they're the only ones offering solutions or even pretending to be empathetic towards the people that are going through this right now. And again, this idea that is like, she's like, Chinese people only work 40 hours a week. It's like, you're talking to a propagandist. You're talking, you're going on vacation in a Potemkin village and telling everybody how wonderful communism is. Please, for the love of God, don't fall for it. Another Chinese news. Chinese hackers assessed Yellen's computer in U.S. Treasury breach. A broader breach of the Treasury Department by Chinese state-sponsored hackers was reported by Bloomberg News on Thursday, citing sources familiar with the matter. According to the report, the computers of two senior officials, Deputy Secretary Wally Ademayeo and Acting Undersecretary Brad Smith, were also compromised. Hackers assessed fewer than 50 files on Secretary Janet Yellen's computer, Bloomberg stated. The Treasury Department has not yet responded to a request or comment from Reuters. The breach, described by Treasury officials as a major incident, occurred in December when Chinese state-sponsored hackers exploited vulnerabilities in third-party cybersecurity provider Beyond Trust to compromise the department's systems. China has always opposed all form of hacker attacks, Mao Ning, a spokesperson for Chinese Foreign Ministry, said at the time. So, Chinese hackers breaking into Janet Yellen's computer. TikTok CEO Xiao Chu planning to attend Trump's inauguration. So again, it looks like this ban of TikTok might actually not go through overall. But I also want you to understand that the move towards Chinese-controlled social media has always been the plan. Has always been the plan. That's what Blue Sky was all about. Now, Blue Sky has largely collapsed under its own weight, as we said it would, after the transsexuals decided it was their platform and made it repulsive to anybody with any level of decency. So it's not really a big threat, but the plan was, and this is just my speculation, but tell me if this doesn't make sense. They thought Kamala Harris was going to get into office, and when Kamala Harris got into office, they were going to destroy and shut down X, one way or another. Whether the way they did it, you know, through TikTok, by having a vote and just saying we declare X is bad, so we're taking it down, or like through the SEC and all this other, you know, all these other mechanisms that they have to disrupt business practices in America, they were going to shut down X. or massively hinder X or do something legally to take down X. And so, you know, if you're these people and you want to take down X, well, you can't just take it down and not have anything to offer. They had to establish an alternative X to funnel everybody to once they shut down X. And that X alternative is Blue Sky. And it was built pre-established with the Chinese level censorship controls baked in to the program. And so this was their plan. Kamala Harris gets elected. They shut down X. Everybody migrates over to Blue Sky. It's the number one choice, and it's the obvious alternative, and it already has embedded in it the algorithmic controls and censorship to guarantee that, you know, speech they don't like stays away, and instead you're treated to nothing but, you know, transsexual fan art about Marvel characters. And in fact, the woman who's the CEO of Blue Sky, she wasn't the founder. The founder was Jack Dorsey, actually. When he left X, he went to Blue Sky. Jack Dorsey and some other guy founded Blue Sky. And then they found the CEO. They just happened to find the CEO. And she was just like a random woman. She's like of Chinese descent. And she was like a Bitcoin miner or something. She was actually, before she got the job as CEO of Blue Sky, she was like physically wiring servers in a Bitcoin farm somewhere. Blue Sky CEO Jay Graber. Now, the weird thing about all of this, the coincidence that I can't quite explain, first of all, why did this random woman get chosen to be CEO of this major tech company that she apparently didn't found and help start, but was just brought on? It's quite a promotion going from like random nobody to CEO of the X killer, Blue Sky. But it gets even weirder because her name is Blue Sky. So they call her Jay. That's a nickname. Her actual name is Chinese, and it's the Chinese word for blue sky. So you're telling me it's just a coincidence that this random 30-year-old woman was appointed to the CEO of a company that happens to have her name? This is crazy. No, the fact is she's, in my opinion, a Chinese operative who was, you know, always going to be put in charge of Blue Sky. Her name is Blue Sky. They named it after her. But then they act like, well, and then we just decided to make her CEO. So the plan has always been to move people over to Chinese social media, which is why this whole, you know, TikTok ban, because it's Chinese, is just utterly ridiculous. And instead, people are going over to this Red Note app that is pure Chinese propaganda. And they're falling for it. So I hope you're not falling for it. And I hope it's obvious now why we at InfoWars are so wholly dedicated to the symbolism and foundational morality and honoring our founding fathers and the American system, because it is the alternative to communism. It is the actual solution to the problems that we're facing, and is the greatest way to spread freedom and independence and self-sufficiency to the entire world. I hope you can support us in this mission by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Get your Survivor Shield X2 today at 50% off. You can also go to TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to support us and let them know who sent you the t-shirts, the hoodies, the hats, the supplements, all on sale now at TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Now, I hope you enjoy our interview with IMA, Australian Alternative Superstar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock. Now, this concoction of turmeric is amazing and extremely bioavailable because it's loaded with ginger root and black pepper extract. Now, you might remember Brain Force Plus or Brain Force Ultra. We loaded that capsule with black pepper extract to ensure that it was as bioavailable as possible, and we used the same exact approach with Ultimate Turmeric. Now, if you're somebody who loves bodies, wants to fight for your joint health, and fight against inflammation, then Ultimate Turmeric gummies are an amazing solution for you. Not only are they delicious, but they benefit your health. Now, I'm somebody who struggles with inflammation. After I spent some time at Eagle Pass, I could hardly walk because my ankle was still swollen from walking around the border and catching what the New World Order was sponsoring in terms of the invasion of our country by these migrants. Countless millions of migrants. Please go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and experience the benefits of Ultimate Turmeric right now. Not only because it's amazing for your health and inflammation and your joints, but because by doing so, you're keeping InfoWars on the air, fighting for this crew, and ensuring that Alex Jones will always be on the air.
My fellow patriots, there are a lot of amazing Patriot gear, supplements, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. But we've now added a whole bunch of other really cool items. There are a bunch of amazing campaign coins for InfoWars, for 1776, for the fight for liberty on the site as low as $9.99. Some of the challenge coins are $14.97. They're great fundraisers for us. They have a lot of weight in them. They look great. They're great conversation starters, great gifts, great keepsakes, mementos, and you know that you've supported the InfoWar. So I want to thank you all for your past support and encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com, our amazing sponsor that will keep us on air one way or the other. If InfoWars get shut down, that's okay, because they're a great sponsor. They're not owned by me, and the bad guys won't be able to shut down thealexjonesstore.com. So go there for the campaign coins and so much more today, and keep me in the fight. Thank you so much for your support.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Fly from a sock.
Phone on a Monday morning, staring at my screen, I'm tired and a little lonely. Mr. Musky says some shit that left her angry. Twitter wars and government, and it's overwhelming. Maybe that's the life that comes when people less important than a profit line. No one cares about your dreams, just pay your tax on time. Keep scrolling. Hold me near to you now. Gender, guns, religion, and abortion rights. You better pick a tribe and hit the other side. Keep scrolling.
Did you see Taylor live?
Balenciaga has the kids, just as Drake, he's losing beef. Kendrick killed him in his sleep. This track's about beating up your queen. More women dying doesn't cause a scene. While we're fed all these distractions, kids are killed from Israel's actions. I'ma speak my mind, sick to death of all these crazy lies. A circus for humanity's decline. We just want a peaceful life, give the people back their rights. And I still got a beef, cause Fauci's laughing and we've been asleep. And who's a liar and it's running deep? Big Pharma finna eat, they a devil making weed.
All right. right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be welcoming my guest, Aya May. She is the singer and songwriter behind the hit single Carmageddon. And while her latest track has sparked significant conversation and controversy, Aya has stood her ground. She refused to compromise on her vision when asked to change a key lyric line, leading to the end of her contract with her manager. She chose to walk away from her record label, and now fully independent, Aya continues to carve her own path as an artist. Her fearless approach is shaped by her unique perspective as a qualified medical doctor, having worked on the front lines during the COVID pandemic. You can follow her on X at Aya May Music, the Instagram at Aya Mayhem, and the website ayamay.com. That's IYAHMAY.com. Aya, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely. This song obviously went mega viral. I don't know if you're still, you know, in the maelstrom right now, but it absolutely burst onto the scene, you might say. And I personally was blown away by it. I have to admit, I don't even like admitting this, but a lot of times we have on artists here, and it feels like sometimes you have to choose between really good music or music with a message, political music. You've combined the two. What was the inspiration behind this song? How'd you get started on it? What made you want to write this?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out, warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C Plus. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
What was the inspiration behind this song? How'd you get started on it? What made you want to write this?
Look, to be honest, just all the stuff that's been happening in the last 5 years. I wrote it last year with my music producer, Danny Duke, and we just sat down and asked ourselves, what's going on in the world? What's affected our personal lives? And I mean, I've been affected personally in a lot of ways, and I thought, how can I bring this into a piece of music where I feel like I'm singing what we're all thinking? And then Carmageddon just kind of like evolved, and we had no plans to write it, but you know, it just happened, and it's cool because I think there's a lot of people out there who are feeling the same way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that's certainly true here in the U.S., of course. Are you in Australia? You're located in Australia now?
Yeah, I'm in Sydney.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure, but reading your biography, it was like a lot of surprising things. I didn't realize that you are, in fact, a medical doctor. That's crazy. How do you go from being a medical doctor to being a singer? I mean, it seems like once you put in the effort to be a doctor, you're going to want to focus on that. What led to the career path change?
Oh, I don't know. I started thinking about life and what I want to do with my life a lot when I was in medical school, and I felt like there was something missing in my life. You know, I was really grateful for all that I had, like an awesome job coming up, amazing mates, like had a sweet social life. It was all cool. But I just thought something's missing and I can't put my finger on it. And I just felt this like intuitive calling to music, and I started doing cover songs, and then I went to New York for a year to do a research thing, and I kind of just started dabbling in music, and I met an amazing vocal coach, and he just inspired me, and I just developed this self-conviction where I was like, I'm going to do music whether people like it or not, whether, you know, my friends or family like it or not, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to make it work with medicine. So it's kind of just been like never look back situation.
Oh, well, it's clearly working out for you. You clearly have what it takes. And So explain to me how this happened, because obviously this the song and the lyrics, I think they'd make a splash regardless. But, you know, one of the biggest parts of this story is the fact that you did it totally independently and were actually, I guess, fired from your label instead of, you know, compromising on some of the lyrics to this song. But just to lay the groundwork, you were signed to a label. You'd released songs already, right? Like, where were you in your musical career when you started to write this song?
Yeah, so I was with a label. I'm now independent. I chose to leave that label for other reasons. And I had a manager in Australia, and I wrote this song, and he pretty much said, look, if you don't change these lyrics, we're not going to work together. And he just canceled our contract because I said, nah, bro, like, I'm not changing these lyrics. Like, I'm sorry, but this is my art. This is my project. So that was that.
Oh, good for you. What was it about the lyrics? Obviously, you sort of run the gamut. There's a lot of third rails that you're touching in this song, a lot of things you're supposed to avoid, but that you delve right into. Was it anything particular about the song? Was it the whole thing? I mean, what was their objection?
Yeah, I don't know his exact opinion about all the lyrics, because it kind of just evolved into a bit of a hectic situation and just a lot of, like, threats and just, you know, I won't go into it too much, but there was, like, a lot of that going on. And I just had to step away from it eventually and be like, after like the 40th message, I'm like, look, man, this is obviously not working out for you or me. So see you later. And I'm also not changing my art for anyone if I believe in it. But yeah, I don't know exactly the scope of his emotions and opinions on everything, but I know that the stuff about Israel and Palestine really, yeah, he didn't agree with that. So I know that for sure.
Interesting. So maybe have less to do with the health stuff that most of the song is about, Fauci and, you know, obviously the death jabs, the isolation that came about because of this. I am going to try to get you to, talk about that a little bit more. Threats, blackmail. What's that about? I mean, you know, what did they try to do? What were the methods they were using to try to get you to bend to them on this?
Oh, look, I won't go into it too much, you know, because I respect the dude. I do. I feel for him and I empathize with where he's coming from. But yeah, there was just like threats and just, you know, if you don't change this, I know people in the industry, all that stuff. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep speaking truth in the world and see how that goes. But like, best thing ever, you know, I'm so glad I put this song out, because it's like, I don't know how people would take it, but putting it out, I've just seen so many people feel the same way. And it's just been so cool to see that. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's like you said, I mean, so many people are feeling this way, but, you know, don't have anybody out there to speak for them. And, you know, I think your song does a fantastic job with that. And again, yeah, you get into all these different topics and it is very interesting. I won't push you on that. You know, I guess you're too respectable to get into the dirt and start spreading gossip. But I get it. But the reason I think it's interesting is because, you know, in your song, you get into some of the, you know, psychological motivations behind what was going on with COVID, like the isolation. I don't know if you did that on purpose, but that's what came through to me is, you know, you start the song with an opening line about being lonely, about being isolated. I think that's why your song, you know, speaks to so many people. But then also you have, you know, once you're trying to put the song out, you see a lot of the same sort of tactics being taken, or I don't know, there's something about it. It's like you're talking about blackmail, you're talking about all this corruption, and then the corruption tries to stop the song getting out. There's something metaphysical about it that I think is very interesting. So again, I won't press you on it, but was that intended, the theme of isolation in the song? Because that really came through to me, and I think everybody experienced that during COVID, the imposed isolation with a purpose behind it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, isolation during COVID, isolation now, you know, with all the chaos going on in the world, and we have this phone in our hands, yet we've probably never felt so lonely, and we're so connected, but we're so disconnected, and we're so engaged, but we're so distracted all at once. And I went through a lot of isolation during COVID. Australia was one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. It was hectic. People in Melbourne and Sydney really suffered. I was fortunate to be in Queensland. It was a bit more chill. But I think now more than ever, like, we have the means to be connected, but we are so disconnected sometimes, and we're so influenced and so manipulated by our digital pockets, you know, our phones, and a lot of us feel lonely. And I've had so many comments on this song, like on my Instagram, and it's just so nice to see. And a lot of people have said, this song makes me feel less alone. And I just thought, that's the best thing ever. And that's the reason why I do music and why a lot of artists create, is to just touch people's hearts.
Well, absolutely. And I think the inverse is true, too. I think the reason that the powers that be might want us to be isolated is because it's easier to manipulate people. It's easier to get people in a weakened, you know, discombobulated, you know, sense of themselves. And then you can sort of steer them in the direction that they want to go. But when we have fellowship and we can hang out with each other and have a good time, you're not stressed out. You're not as fearful. You're not as easily to manipulate either. When you have a network of friends that you can rely on, you're not as worried about what the masses might think, because, you know, well, I have my family and my friends and, you know, they'll be with me no matter what. So I might as well, you know, tell the truth here. So I think it's a very powerful mechanism that they wield against us, and that benefits them greatly. And I do think that music is one of the most powerful things for bringing people together. I mean, art in general, but music in particular, has such a powerful, you know, ability to draw people in. When you're writing this, I mean, was it just sort of getting your emotions out and getting the feelings out and just wanting to express it? Or, you know, did you have the idea that you like wanted to bring people together? You wanted to, you know, speak out for people that were going through this. Like, was it more personal or more political, your lyric writing?
Well, I don't see this song as a political piece. I wrote it more as a question, so that we all can ask questions, and a conversation. The song is about sparking conversations and just questioning the narrative, questioning what we're all fed on social media or in the news. So it was both. It was personal and it was taking a look at what was happening around the world. And I think we can all agree that we're being dragged through the absolute mud the last few years. Like, it's been so hard for all of us. So yeah, it's a bit of both. I think it's my own personal journey and how I was affected and my struggles, because I for sure struggled and I felt lonely a lot. And there were dark times for sure. And I know other people felt the same. And it's also just a conversation about what the hell is going on in this world right now. What are we experiencing? What is this? And as you said, like, I think unity brings people together. And this song is about hope and it's about unity. And it might be calling out all the stuff going on, but at its core, it really is about unifying the people to give them strength. Because if they divide us, if they split us up, they use fear against us. And that's a control mechanism. We don't want that. We don't want to be manipulated or controlled.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is where it almost like folds back in on itself, where it's like then they're using, you know, this pressure to try to get you to change your lyrics. And, you know, I'm sure it would have been very easy for you, right? It would have been easy to just go, all right, fine, I'll change this one. It's one lyric or it's two lyrics, like, you know, all right, fine. I'm sure it would have been very easy to do that. And then your way forward would have been a lot more simple for you and probably a lot easier for you. You chose the hard road. Clearly, it's paying off. The guy's got to be kicking himself now. He's probably the one thinking, gee, I should have just dropped it. You know, I could be benefiting from this instead of Aya by herself. But I mean, you know, obviously, you know, people are they resonate with this. They just love it and are glad somebody's out there speaking for them. So, I mean, you have to feel like it's worth it, right? I'm glad that, you know, all of this has come to fruition, because it must have been a gigantic risk. And there must have been a lot of uncertainty when you made the choice to go it alone.
Yeah, there was a lot of uncertainty. It was intimidating at times. But what's more important to me is just really standing by what I believe in and my truth. And I believe this song embodies that. And I felt like if I change the lyric just for one person, then I might as well change it for everyone. You know, right. Then I lose a part of myself, and I don't want to dilute myself and the stuff I make. Because what is the point of that? Let me just become lukewarm. And you know what? The outcome is less important than standing by your truth and what you believe in and your conviction. As I'm seeing now, like, the outcome is going great. And right. Imagine if I had have just like backed away. And it just goes to show the people want to see the truth and the people want to be heard. And this song is for the people, and it's for the unseen and the people that felt ostracized and excluded.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, your lyrics go pretty hard. I have to say, I mean, was there any concern being in Australia that like there'd be legal problems with some of the stuff you were saying? Did that ever, you know, enter into the calculations?
Yeah, a little. I don't know. I just thought, stuff it. I'm just going to put this out and see what happens. It's also hard being a doctor too, because I'm talking about Fauci and the World Health Organization, and I just felt like I went in and I just went hard, and I'm just like, whatever, we're just going to see how this goes. It might really ruffle some feathers. Oh, it has, for sure. But stuff it, just take the risk.
Yeah. So as a doctor during COVID, I mean, what was that like? How was your experience as a doctor? How did that play into, you know, the lyrics that you wrote?
Yeah, that's complex, that one. COVID was weird. Obviously, it was weird. A weird time for all of us being locked down. I actually worked in some of the COVID clinics in Australia. I don't know what to say. Obviously, I was affected. My perspective changed a lot about the health system and I questioned a lot more. And I started thinking, hang on, like, is this just public health or is this something else going on without, you know, getting too down the rabbit hole? But yeah, it made me question my role as a doctor and also a healer, which is important to me and what I'm giving to the people and the flaws in our system.
Mm. What would the flaws in the system be? I mean, you know, obviously from my perspective, it would be the entire, you know, top-down construction of our health system, which, again, I thought was so interesting. You're an Australian singer, but in your song, you're talking about Fauci. And, you know, we're American. We're so American-centric. You know, we forget there's the rest of the world. But it's crazy to me that some dude in America is setting health policy that's being enforced across the entire world in Australia. So it's this incredible, you know, I don't know, pyramid structure or you know, chain of command, basically, where all the doctors seem to fall into line all over the world when Fauci said something. So, I mean, what would you identify as some of the problems that came to light for you as a doctor during COVID?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just think being silenced is weird as a medical professional. It is weird, isn't it? Like, how can one dude have so much say around the whole world? And what if he's wrong? What if he isn't? But what if he is? You know, like, what happened there? How do we handle that?
Right.
Did we handle it well? It doesn't seem like it. I don't know. That's a tough one. As I said, like, I'm trying to question the narrative from both sides and be open-minded. As a doctor, yeah, but like I'm still learning, I'm still figuring all this stuff out, and more information is coming out. So I think we're all just, you know, in the same boat in a way.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, had that same experience where maybe, you know, what happened during COVID sort of opened their eyes to, well, if this is happening here, maybe it could happen elsewhere, or, you know, what is, if it's not for our health, what is the purpose behind this, and why are they so censorious about it? And just start asking, you know, greater questions about everything else. I think at the end of the day, all of the COVID stuff, and we, you know, we have conspiracies all day about why they were implementing these things and what the ultimate purpose of it is. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to do more damage to their schemes than it helped them, because like yourself, so many people woke up maybe for the first time or really understood how serious the situation was under COVID. And like you said, so much stuff is coming out now. I mean, do you think there's what do you think we do? What is justice in this case? What do we do with these people like Fauci who locked us down? And now we know the lockdowns were, you know, hugely damaging, didn't help stop the spread of virus. The vaccines we know now are not effective and probably extremely deadly. So, but nobody seems to be taking this as seriously as it needs to be, which is like these, if this is true, if this really wasn't necessary and all this damaging stuff, I mean, these guys are mass murderers. These guys are a crime against humanity. And I don't see the impetus to treat it like that. How do you think we get to that point? Or is that even your goal? Or, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, look, I'm not a politician. I don't make policies. So I'm not sure how to deal with these people or how to go about this. It's a bit of a new ground for us, isn't it? Trying to figure out what to do and what's truth, what's not, what's information and what was silenced, what was censored. It's interesting about the Mark Zuckerberg thing that's just come out recently. I think that's also making people question the narrative again and just like, what the heck is going on? But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I think people are just not going to be the same. If we go through this again, like, people are just going to be like, hold up, what's going on? More and more artists are standing up, more and more, you know, speakers, politicians, healers, people are standing up and questioning things. And I mean, I'm an artist writing about stuff, you know, like, and there's going to be more like me. There are more like me as well. So I think it's a time where the world has woken up. It is an awakening for sure. And I think it's actually a good thing. I think we were in the dark a bit before and we were just shoved into a hole so badly that we're all just like coming out of that and I think it's a good space to be in. I think we're actually elevating humanity, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it with all the dark stuff going on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And again, it's amazing that you're an Australian, I'm an American. We're both sensing this and seeing this. So, I mean, it truly is sort of a global awakening going on because the attack was global. So the response has to be global as well, kind of obviously. And, you know, again, your success, the success of this song, the, you know, how widespread this was, the number of fans you now have, it shows that you don't need the system. So they can't really hold that over you. I'm sure as you were sort of being berated about this song, there was a lot of like, hey, without us, you're nothing. Hey, we're the ones who give you the platform and we can take it away from you. And when that's not the case, when you can just go directly to your audience and they can directly support you, you're cutting out the middleman, you're cutting out the controlling factor. I mean, this is a whole new world, and it's beautiful and amazing. And you're, you know, an example of that, an exemplar of that, I think. But again, I mean, did you expect this response? Did you know what you had on your hands, or were you expecting, were you unsure when you put it out?
I was actually expecting a much worse response, and I was expecting a lot more backlash. I think that's because I started off so badly with the manager ending our contract. So I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be hectic. So I've been very surprised, pleasantly surprised by all the people rallying behind it. And as you said, like, we don't really need the system to some extent. You know, this song went number 2 in Australia on iTunes, and it's, you know, it's on like viral charts and Spotify throughout different countries. And interestingly, I don't know if Spotify just hasn't heard it yet or they're blocking it, whatever. They're not adding it to their playlist as of yet. However, the algorithm from the people's support is driving it to hit these viral playlists. And I just think that's so cool because it's showing that the people actually do have so much power, and the people's support is what's driving this track to get around the world. Like, I couldn't do this without any of those people and you guys helping me out. There's no chance. It's me and my producer. You know, we're best mates, and we're just trying to put something cool out in the world that we believe in. And I had no idea how it would go. I thought I'm just going to have to log on to my socials, post it, jump off, because I'm going to have so much hate that I just don't want to even see it. But actually, it's been the opposite. Like, I have so much love, and I'm shocked, and it's so encouraging.
Well, again, there's something about music. It brings people together. Like, it's the same thing with skits. You know, we have comedians on. It's like, it's a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. You can say things that might make people enraged otherwise, but if you put it in a catchy song, there's something about it. People will listen more. They'll accept it more. They'll appreciate it more. So, I can't ever see you getting hate for this song. Frankly, I'm sort of shocked that they didn't want to put it out. 'Cause again, it's just a genuinely good song. I'm not just saying that to compliment you. It's one of the things that I think surprises people. They go, well, wait, she produced this song and this music video without any help. Like, that's an impressive achievement in and of itself. And of course, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is to inspire more people to go out there and make music. Maybe more people who are under contract and are worried about, you know, saying the wrong thing, they might get dropped. It's like, that could be the best thing that ever happens to you. So, I mean, what advice would you have for people, or what did you focus on while you were making this music in order to get the quality to the level that is equal to the mainstream stuff that has out has networks behind it?
Yeah, one thing I just thought of is I really would love to just tell other artists just to follow your intuition. Yeah. Trust the process. Like, if you really feel, you just intuitively know something is right to do, just follow that, follow your gut instincts. If it's telling you to write this and put it out, then do it. If it's telling you to just maybe work on it a bit more and refine it, finesse it, you know, follow that. But intuition plays a huge, huge part in this role. And this was a lot of work, you know, in the lead up. I wasn't just messing around. And my producer, Danny, who's such a legend, helped me out, has my back. He wasn't messing around either. Like, we have a lot of conversations together in the studio together, us two thinking about what's going on in the world, what's going on in our hearts, like what's some really deep stuff that we just want to talk about and I want to write about. And, you know, we've been doing that for a couple of years, like just having these conversations and all that, you know, subconsciously just like penetrates your mind and your energy. And that has just trickled into this song. And yeah, like it's hard work making content and going out there. I shot this music video in Newcastle, Australia with a guy who's amazing as well, Bradley. He's jumped on board just to help me make cool visuals, you know, just wants to support. so many people have just jumped in, putting their hands up, saying, can I help? Can I help? You know, given the situation where I don't have a team anymore. I'm building up my team, you know, with my friends independently, which is cool. But yeah, just follow your intuition massively here. That's what I did. And work, yeah, just work your hardest you can and just, and try and make something that's really quality that you're proud of.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I imagine you have the same problem I have. If I ever try to do something that's like, I'm lucky I just sit in front of a camera and we're live. So I just get to spout for 3 hours and then my job's over. It's way harder to write something. It's way harder to like figure out what you actually want to say and try to put it in lyrics, try to make it rhyme in your case. Like, that's actually way more difficult. And I wonder if you were like, I imagine I would be.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates, which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C Plus. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS gummies are finally back in stock. Now, this is our number one bestseller at thealexjonesstore.com, and for good reason. Ultimate CMOS gummies are loaded with iodine, which we know that our thyroid needs in order to effectively detox our bodies from all the pollutants and toxins that are in the food, water, and air that we breathe. Folks, we are under relentless assault from the New World Order. They're trying to shut down InfoWars. They're trying to silence Alex Jones, and they're trying to attack our minds and our bodies with all these toxins and chemicals that are all around us all the time. Please check out Ultimate CMOS gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com and benefit from the amazing benefits of this product. It's got bladderwrack and burdock root in it, which is also rich in iodine. It's the amazing, most bioavailable way to get iodine in your thyroid. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and experience the benefits of the antioxidant and immune support, energy and bone strength, helps promote heart health, provides gut support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Check it out right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're going to see more songs along this line.
I'd actually written a whole EP before this song. This song was a bit of a throwaway. Like, we're just writing it and I didn't know if I'd release it. And then I'm like, no, this is like divine timing. The fact that it would, if I release this now, it would come out on its own accidentally after the US election. But I've been working on music and other songs, which I actually like love a lot. And I probably say I love more than Carmageddon in a way. All before this, and I'm still working on songs now all the time. Like, I'm about to go to the studio today and work on some new stuff. So I don't know exactly the direction, you know, if it's going to be in the vein of this or if it's going to be other stuff or both, but I'm just going to, as I said, trust my intuition, follow my heart, and just speak what I think is truth. And I reckon there's some cool stuff that's really going to come out, and I'm excited. I've got new songs. I'm pumped to put them out. People are into them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely have inspired a fan base to follow you. And there's this saying, a little cliche, but it's been making the rounds of conservatism is the new counterculture. And you know, when people first started saying that a couple years ago, it was kind of like, is it though? I don't know. I mean, obviously our culture is very leftist and liberal. Australia, I think, is even more so from what I've seen from it. And if you want conservative messaging, you do have to go to the counterculture. At this point, it seems like the counterculture, again, is sort of subsuming the culture, where now, like, the biggest podcasters, the biggest shows, the biggest, comedians, maybe soon the biggest music stars are all sort of pushing a more conservative message. Is it that way in Australia, too? Is that an American-centric sort of idea, or are you seeing sort of the cultural swing back towards the right?
Oh, man, I'm not a politician, and I'm not super sure. We have our own politics, and that's a whole nother bag anyway. I think you're pretty right though in saying that. And I think, look, I'm not picking sides, and I'm not trying to get my songs politicized at all, because I'm at heart an artist. But yeah, I think there's been a shift. It's pretty interesting, and it's interesting to see what art will come out as well out of that.
Yeah. And, and again, this is something that it almost doesn't have much to do with politics, right? This is more of a cultural thing that even, and it's happening so rapidly. I mean, if you had questioned any of the COVID narratives, I mean, people got in a fight with you, they'd yell at you, they'd, uninvite you from their wedding. I mean, people took it really seriously. Now people are starting, maybe more information is coming in, but, obviously questioning COVID, questioning the vaccine, nobody's getting their vaccine boosters, right? Everybody sort of realizes it's a fraud. So, clearly there's an awareness sort of rising and you're sort of, riding that wave in a way, by talking about this stuff, being one of the first, out in front. But I think we're going to see, more of you. My producer has a very important question for you. Kim or Kanye?
Oh my gosh. I'm so not picking a side. I actually love Kanye's music. He is a musical genius, and I know he's controversial, but so what? Like, some of the best artists are. I was bumping Kanye's stuff last night.
Have you been contacted by Kanye?
No, I haven't.
You want his phone number? So, we need to get you guys in touch.
Please. If you guys can all tag Ye on my Instagram, like, that'll be great.
we got his contact. We'll hook you up after the interview. Yeah, he's been here. But for people who don't know, that question comes from a line from your song where you're talking about, pick a side. You got to pick a side. And of course, the sides you're talking about are like, which side of the celebrity beef are you on? It's not even really important. But the divide and conquer tactic. Again, I wonder, like, you're talking about this stuff. Is there a deeper philosophical message you're trying to get out? Or, are you just sort of making people aware of this and trying to open their eyes to what's right in front of them? Because again, it seems like I'm reading very deeply into your lyrics. I'm wondering if you intend to, these messages about isolation or divide and conquer. To me, these seem like like things I would talk about on the show, talking about conspiracy theories and the way humanity is controlled. How deep down the rabbit hole have you gone? And when you're talking about the choose a side thing, were you thinking like divide and conquer tactics? The World Economic Forum is using this to take over, or is it just like this is BS. I don't want to pick a side. What was your inspiration behind, you know, those lyrics in particular, the sort of divide and conquer section?
Yeah, well, the song is about division. So it is a lot about that. And in my other lyrics, I say, if you go left and I go right, you know, that's like, well, you have to go this way, I have to go this way. Mm. And then we hate the other side. And there was so much division. Like the whole thing during COVID, it was just insane. Like the amount of division coming into the world, and then more and more, you know, even in the last year, there's just been division. And it sucks. Like, why do we have to be so divided as in humanity? Like, it's my brother, it's my sister, and that's it. We're all from the same source, I believe. And also just the celebrity distractions that are used. You know, there's like wars going on and so much stuff going on. But social media is talking about Kim or Kanye and Kendrick and Drake. It's like, you know, like, are they just dangling a distraction there for us? So it's about that as well.
Yeah. You know, again, it's interesting. It's like you bring up the wars. It's one of the first lines in the song. I'm looking at the lyrics here. Twitter wars in Gaza, man, it's overwhelming. So it's one of those things where it's like, all right, we don't want to be distracted by the celebrity stuff, but then the real world stuff going on is so blackpilling, I mean, demoralizing and frustrating in and of itself. But we don't even have an escape now because politics are so entertainment rather is so political. A little Freudian slip there. Our politics have become more like entertainment, and the entertainment has become unbearably political at this point, with few exceptions such as yourself. So it's almost like we don't get a break from this. There's no way to escape from whatever this is, this continual, you know, chaos being pumped into our brains. What do you do other than sing and you know, something other than politics? I mean, what do you have anything that you do to just like separate from the world other than music?
Well, obviously, I love listening to music. I know that's cliche, but I love listening to music. I was thinking about what you just said yesterday, actually. There's just so much chaos that it's almost like a lot of us don't want to be political, and a lot of us don't care about politics, find it boring, but like we're forced, yeah. You know, it's in our faces every day, whether we like it or not. And that is so consuming and overwhelming sometimes. So it's like we don't have a choice. Whether we like it or not, these issues are affecting us. It's impossible to not be political sometimes. But what do I do? I love to stay fit. I adore my mates. I love seeing my friends. And I love traveling, and just like I'm a huge foodie. And I just think you got to find that grounding in your day, and whether it's praying, meditating, and just finding a way to just get back to yourself and your roots and your heart. Because otherwise, like, it's so easy to get lost in this chaotic world with so much going on, and we're just bombarded with information every damn day.
Yeah, seriously, tell me about it. I got to spend 3 hours every morning talking about it, and it feels like getting hit in the head with a hammer. But at the same time, it's like you got to know this. You got to focus on it. I think that could be another tactic, too, is like, you know, just deluge of depressing, demoralizing, blackpilling. I mean, again, the line about genocide, it's like it's not even political necessarily. It's just like we have to see these images, and they're so depressing and disheartening. It's like you just want to give up and give in. But then you have to remind yourself that, like, you really can't do that. Here's a question for you, and I don't know why this sprang my mind, but I read that you were raised in a rainforest village. How much does that, you know, impact your life and your style and your way of thinking, do you think? Or is that as strange of a thing as I think it is? When I think, you know, rainforest village, I'm picturing, you know, something like an Ewok village. I don't know if it was like that, but tell us about how you grew up, and maybe, you know, how that helped to frame the way that you see the world.
Yeah, it was. It's a 3,000 person village, and it is truly in the rainforest in like northern Australia. It's hot as hell. It's humid. It's beautiful. It's stunning. I think it had a huge role in who I am. It wasn't an unconventional upbringing for sure. Raised by my mom, my older sisters, legends. I think I have a big appreciation for nature and the environment and the world, and a connection in that way to God. And I'm spiritual, and I adore the planet, and I want it to be healthy, and I want others to be healthy. And every year I go back home to connect to my roots there, and I just ground myself there and just remind myself like why I do all this in the first place, what I want to do with my life, how I want it to serve others, how I want to give back to the world and create. And I think it's such a grounding, glorious little pocket of earth. And at the same time, I also really love New York City. It's my favorite city. And I'm, you know, like, I want to go there soon if I can. And yeah, it's fine to love both. And, but yeah, I think it had a pivotal role for sure. It's kind of a quirky, unique little spot. And I think it comes out in what I write as well sometimes and who I am.
Yeah. No, I wonder, when you say unconventional, were you homeschooled or were you in public education growing up?
No, I was in public education.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean,
it seems like a lot of times people who are able to, like, you know, speak freely about stuff, they avoided that indoctrination early on. I went to public school here in the States too. So some of us make it through unscathed, but, you know, I'm just always wondering what gives people sort of the fortitude. It's got to be something early in life that, you know, sets your brain a certain way that gives you the confidence and ability to speak out about this stuff, even when you're being pressured so hard not to. So, yeah, and well, I can imagine growing up in a small place in the rainforest. I mean, there's got to be a sense of community there that us big city folks were missing out on growing up.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's a little hippie town. So, I mean, I think that says it all. Yeah.
And that's the thing, aren't they? Like, all these, like, labels are kind of being mixed up. You know, when you say you expected hate, it's like, I don't see anything anybody could hate here. The hippies are going to like this. The conservative people are going to like this, because everybody's sort of realizing, like, it's something that we can come together on. We might be, you know, at each other's throats, you know, arguing over something. We both go, hey, we both know the people in charge are full of crap, right? And they're lying to us. And, like, everybody believes that. Everybody understands that on either side. And that seems fairly new to me. So I don't know. I don't know if these labels even work anymore. And, you know, half the people that work at InfoWars, I would classify as hippies at this point. So, you know, it's not that they're liberal, but they just recognize something about nature and about the you know, corruption of these human structures that we have to live under. I think there's a real opportunity here for reaching out. And again, I think music's a great chance to do this. Have you been surprised by any of the support that you've gotten? Like, have there been any, like, big lefties being like, hey, I hate everything that you're talking about, but I love your song? Like, what has surprised you about some of the support you've received?
Honestly, the man-made virus line has been a little bit controversial, I suppose. A lot of people are having a go saying, you know, just saying, oh, that's a conspiracy and whatever. So probably that. Obviously the Israel-Palestine line, you know, that's going to be hard. It's complex, super complex. And yeah, I think, but overwhelmingly people have been supportive. And I mean, yeah, as you said, you think it's a good song. So it's not like the worst song in the world. You can listen to it and bump it, even without the lyrics.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But I think just saying man-made virus, like shouting that as the first line in the chorus is like, what was that? So that's probably been like a bit of a starter for some people.
You know, everybody knows at this point it was a man-made virus. We can stop pretending now if we want to. Just to clarify, I was trying to find the line. I mean, it's one line in here about, you know, more than war, it's genocide. You know, politicians bribe for life. That's the line. That's the line that you know, everybody's freaking out about. But again, even just from like an artistic standpoint, what you're expressing is what millions of people around the world are thinking. So, you know, even if you were just doing it as, you know, I don't believe this, but let me express what people are thinking right now. You know, this needs to be said. And I think there's something sort of sick about, you know, taking this feeling that millions of people are feeling and saying, you're not allowed to sing about this. You're not allowed to express this. And it's like, somebody's got to speak up for this. And even if you disagree with it, you recognize how many people are horrified by what's going on. And it's not political. And it's not choosing a side. It's just the human reaction of seeing this stuff on our phones in a way that we've never have before. And it being more real than it's ever seemed before. So, you know, I wonder why people can't give maybe more lenience of just going, hey, this is art. It's what people are thinking. And even if you disagree, this is reality and it needs to be reflected in the art that we make, because that's what culture is. So, you know, I wonder why people are so, you know, sensitive about this when, you know, it's going on and people are pissed off by it. When you wrote that, did you know what a controversial line it would be?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You could just see that all over social media, just the, again, more division, you know,
yeah.
And yeah, it's tough. Like without going into it too much, like it is such a complex issue and there's a lot of genocides going on around the world as well, you know, but just people are hurting and I just wanted to create something that would spark a conversation and just seeing what people might be feeling, what I would think we're all feeling, or many of us. And that's what this song is about. It is about just having a chat and bringing things into light and awareness, bringing truth into light and discussing that with each other rather than just like, nah, disagree with you, you know, like I hate you and shut you down. And censorship is a big part of that, like, and silencing is a big part of that, and I hate that. And it's not right. Like, we should be able to say how we feel, especially in art, and who should be able to dictate that we can't? You know, when did that happen? I mean, it happened a lot in the last 5 years, which we're seeing.
Yeah, it's happened a lot. Hopefully that's going down now. Hopefully that it's I think we've reached the high tide watermark of censorship. It seems to be receding at this point.
Yeah, well, I think so. I was worried that this song wouldn't be heard by anyone because it would be censored and silenced. And I mean, maybe it is, you know, like the fact that, I don't know if Spotify's heard it again or not. But the fact that it hasn't been added, you know, like it hasn't been supported heaps and it's not being played by mainstream radio yet, it's going viral. So yeah. It's like, come on, guys.
Last I saw it was number 2 on the charts in Australia. That's huge.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just from the people. It's just like exploded a bit on Twitter. Like there was quite a few people who shared it. And then Joe Rogan followed me, which was bless his soul. Love that dude.
Awesome.
And, Yeah. And just people started getting behind it on Instagram and YouTube. And I think that's just, yeah, again, power to the people. And it just shows, like, if people love something, they're going to get behind it. And there's not too much, like, the gatekeepers can really do if people are fully backing something, which is really fun and a cool space to be in.
Yeah. Well, and when they know that, you know, you've taken a risk, when they know that you've, you know, been dropped by your manager over this, people are like eager to support you. It really is beautiful. I mean, people are hungry. Like, we're starving for somebody to speak out and to talk about this stuff. Okay. So Joe Rogan followed you. That's good. We got to hook you up with him. We're going to try to hook you up with Kanye. What other, anybody else reach out to you or signal to you? Any other big artists that are secretly based behind the scenes?
Another artist who I love and am inspired by, Maya. She's awesome. I'd love to connect with her. Obviously, there's a lot going on in LA and the world at the moment right now. But yeah, there's been some other musicians who I love, like Jewel and some other actors and just celebrities, and which is cool. Yeah, I'm shocked, to be honest. I'm surprised. But, you know, when you say something truthful and it hits something and it resonates, I guess anything can happen. I'm seeing that now.
Yeah, I'm very happy for you, and I, you know, I hope you're able to sort of ride this as this wave as far as it'll take you. You know, some people are sort of a flash in the pan. You know, there's the Richmond, north of Richmond guy. He sort of fell off, and it you know, to me it was sort of disappointing. It was like, man, you had such a powerful hit, and then you just like didn't make anything of it. So it doesn't seem like you have that same attitude. It seems like you are sort of gearing up and ready to launch. What are your future projects look like? Anything you're working on right now you want to tell people about?
Yeah, I'm working on some really cool stuff. I don't know when I'm going to release it, but it'll be soon. We'll just see how the song goes. You know, I think that this is just the start of the journey for Carmageddon, and I would love it to get out in the world more. So, you know, I just appreciate people's support so much. Just the shares and just, you know, follows on Spotify and YouTube is so helpful for an indie artist. And we'll see. But, like, I've got so much music in the bank. So, you know, I trust that what is meant to be will be, and what is meant for us will find us. And I feel like I try to be a super optimistic person and just really put out that energy into my work and into what I want to manifest. And, yeah, like, the new songs, they're parts of my heart and parts of the world and parts of truth and spirituality and all that stuff. So I'll just keep putting that stuff out, and hopefully it just resonates like Carmageddon has, or we'll see.
But no plans on returning to the operating room anytime soon. I guess you're not a surgeon, but you wouldn't rather be in a hospital dealing with sick people. You're just going to keep being a Hollywood star. Is that your decision?
You know what? I think writing songs and making art is dealing with sick people, because you're healing people in a different way, and music is healing and beautiful. And, like, I'll always want to do medicine in some way. I still actually work as a doctor, by the way, part time,
wow.
But this music is kind of taking over a lot. So I'm just following what's going on, and I have this beautiful opportunity, and I really want to put my heart and soul into music more and more. But I'm a huge advocate for wellness and preventative medicine and nutrition and eating well and just like looking after your body, and that ties a lot into what I write about. So I don't know, music medicine is, they'll come up together. Like I just want to trust the process and not stress about it. It'll happen how it's meant to.
Yeah, well, it's a good backup plan to have. If the stardom doesn't work, you can still be a doctor. That's a very nice backup plan. But no, I think you're exactly right. And I'm sort of a doctor myself now that I think about it, healing people spiritually. But I do always reference the Hippocratic Oath, and especially the one line in the Hippocratic Oath where it says to avoid the twin traps of overtreatment and therapeutic nihilism. And I think that applies so much to the psychological world and the world of politics. It's like you don't want to go crazy and just go, everything's terrible. Just enslave us. Screw it. You know, just be in charge and set everything right. That would be like the overreaction. And then like therapeutic nihilism is just like, it's all screwed over. It's the black pill. It's just why even fight? The bad guys have won anyway. Let's just, go have fun or whatever. So, as much as I'm being a little bit facetious, I do think there's like these distinct connections between sort of, physical, mental health and the spiritual health that I think you're promoting with this song. So I think there's a lot to that. Any comments on the therapeutic nihilism or, over-treatment idea?
I think, as you said, our spirituality and our physical health and our mental health is all one. I believe that, and one can't operate without the other. We need to look after our emotions as people, especially now with all this world chaos. Like, our emotions are taking hits every day, and our mind is our body, and it's one beautiful system. And I think healthcare is becoming more and more in that holistic way. I think I love some doctors at the moment. I'm just speaking out, like Dr. Zach Bush. He is such a cool doctor that I look up to. He's actually US based, but just focusing on how to heal our minds and our bodies and connect to nature and connect to our earth and ground ourselves. And I mean, maybe some people think I'm a hippie for that, maybe not, but is that really being a hippie, or is it just like using these natural resources that we have? And let's not undervalue the power of preventing disease in the first place by eating well and getting sunshine and having community. And yeah, I just love the holistic space that's going into, and I'm excited personally as a doctor, because I think that's just going to evolve more and more. And I think COVID and the pandemic in the last 5 years had a huge role in that. I think people are questioning the system more, questioning the pharmaceutical industry, and just looking to other natural ways of healing themselves. And there's always a place for pharmaceuticals, and like, I love science, and obviously that's why I became a doctor, and there's totally a place for medicine and Western medicine and surgeries and everything. I'm not doubting that. But I think now is the time where we can look at what else can we do for our health? How does it connect to our minds? And how can we connect to nature? How can we just like optimize our bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. And how are both of these things being attacked by people with not the best intentions? Because it's all the same. It's all intertwined. They understand that. It's time we understood it. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. I've so enjoyed this. And again, I love the song. I hope you inspire 10,000 more people like you. And I really look forward to seeing what I'm sure is going to be your long and illustrious career. Seriously, I'm very excited to see what you come out with next and where it goes from here. Everybody, my guest is Aya May. You can follow her on X at Aya May Music, Instagram at Maya Mayhem, Aya Mayhem, on the website IAMAY.com. That's IYAHMAY.com. The song is Carmageddon. Get it now. Support her and spread the word. Aya, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. You're legends. It's been great.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. All right, there she is, Aya May, splits with label over anti-globalist lyrics. That video interview now on now available. Share it around. Share the link, band.video. In the meantime, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Have you gotten your CMOS? Have you gotten your beautiful silver coin? Have you gotten your, Sambucus? Ultimate Sambucus? Or the Ultimate Iron Plus? Or the Optimal Human? Hydration, the Ultimate Hydro Force. Have you gotten it yet? Have you gone? Go now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now. And we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C Plus. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
A new extremely important product is now available exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, Ultimate Probiotic. This is a private label, but even made stronger, of one of the top, highly recommended, highly rated brands out there today. And it's more than just a probiotic. It's got a whole bunch of known natural ingredients that boost your overall gut health and that detoxify and that helps flush out all the garbage in your body. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the attacks on our bodies, you have to understand that the gut is the front line. And if you don't have a strong gut, it's like not having a front door on your house or an engine in your car. The gut is so important. Probiotics are amazing and are documented for their great effects. Get this high-quality probiotic right now, Ultimate Probiotic, 60 billion, at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for your support. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I thank you for your support.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.